Blog Talk Radio.
You are now rocking to the beats with the East Coast music mogul, DJ Mike Q, Queen Beat Productions, DJMikeQ.com.
Live in the mix.
Mike Cuden.
I think if I could just be on TV or film or anything, I'd do that instead of the money. Of course, I do want the money because I want the luxury that goes with it. But I want to be wealthy. If not wealthy, content, comfortable. You know? I want to be somebody. I mean, I am somebody.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back. cue your selector. Queen Beat Production.
Need your love is so bad, baby. 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 Need your love is so bad,
The 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball, Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Doors open at 5 p.m. Admission $30 all night. Location, Symphony Ballroom at the Blake Hotel, Uptown, Charlotte, North Carolina. Commentators, Icon Jack Mizrahi and Icon J. Manolo Blahnik. DJ, Legendary Vonalore. Grand Prize, $1,500. Butch Queen Realist with a Twist. Mini Grand Prize, $500. Butch Queen Vogue Set. Mini Grand Prize, $500. Butch Queen European Runway. Categories include male figure versus female figure. Two trophies. One cash prize of $250. Butch Queen Face. One trophy, one cash prize of $250. Open to all, foot and eye. Male figure versus female figure. Two trophies. One cash prize of $250. Open to all, team treatment. One trophy, one cash award of $300. And 13 other $100 categories. The 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball. Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Charlotte, North Carolina. See you there.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the State of Emergency Show, Episode 11, where tonight we will be talking about... Hello, chat room. Hi, everyone that is tuning in from Facebook and everyone that is on the line. I really want to say thank you for tuning in. Chat room, as always, I always need your help. Make sure that you guys can hear me. Thank you. And if you guys hear any feedback or technical issues, please let me know so I can try to fix it. So tonight we'll be talking about sex, and tonight is episode 11 of the State of Emergency Show. We will be taking a summer break. Our last episode will be the Wednesday before Memorial Day weekend, and we will be gone for the whole summer, and we'll be back, God willing, in the fall. The whole show will be taking a break at that time, a summer break. We usually do that because a lot of people tend to not really be on their phones listening to the radio show over the summer. Tens of Chops will be available Monday night for the weekend recap, only if an event, a ball, is taking place that weekend. Otherwise, there will not be any shows through Tender Chop throughout the summer. So keep that in mind. I am so sorry if it takes me so long to get on the air, but I don't finish work until midnight. And, you know, I'm kind of playing... doing two things at one time here, so I do apologize. But don't try it too much, Misty Lake, because I really don't even think I like you. Because you always got something to say in the chat room. So if you keep trying it, of course, I'm going to kick you out. So be nice tonight. I don't like kicking people out. Tonight, we are going to be talking about sex. And again, if you guys have any other topics you do want to bring up, inbox me for the last couple of episodes before Memorial Day. and we can make them the highlight of the evening for our future Wednesday night shows, so inbox me. Tonight, as far as sex goes, part of me really didn't want to talk about it. I was kind of caught between a rock and a hard place with the topic. I really was going to talk about judges, to be honest with you. But I kept getting a lot of hit-ups, especially after last night's show, in reference to the comments that came up with the Fed looking for individuals that are infecting clients and things of that sort. And not that I want to talk about that per se, but I think we do need to address some of the issues that are happening as far as sexual activities within the ballroom scene, or not even really within the ballroom scene, but within this generation and our community. What I don't want people to do is call in and attack people or, you know, talk about people's health statuses and things of that sort. I never agree with that, and I don't think this is the forum for that. But we can talk about some of the things that does take place with this. Anything from sleeping within circles, three ways, four ways, and group sex. Is it safe? You know, is it right? Is it something that, you know, I don't know. What's your opinion on it, really? People that are having sex for fame, you know, for a title, for money, or just plain out doing it for nothing. You know, why are you putting your body through that? As well as anonymous sex and relationships. For those of you who don't know what anonymous sex is, it's pretty much fucking around with somebody you have no idea who they are. You called them up from a chat line, met them on some dating site, you don't even know who they are, their history, their name, or whatever. They come over, you go over, you have, and then bang, you're gone. But yet, you're in a relationship. Or can you even have a relationship? What is the difference, and can they even coexist together? And we're going to talk about Backpage versus Craigslist. A for A versus BGC, Eros versus Men for Rent, and, you know, what girl are you, or do you even contribute to any of those sites? So that's what we are going to be talking about tonight. As always, I do have a panel that will be sitting with us tonight, and I will be bringing them on shortly. If you guys are on the phone line or in the chat room or listening from your computer, please press 1. And you can tune in for tonight's topic. And that's pretty much it. So before we go any further, let me bring on my guest. The first person I'm bringing on is Chance Chanel from L.A. He's also calling from Skype, so I think this is our first time dealing with a caller from Skype, so hopefully we won't have any technical issues. But Chance, are you on the, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, okay, we can hear you clearly. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. How is LA right now? How's the weather over there?
It's a little cloudy. It was sprinkling earlier, but other than that, I'm warm inside my house.
Okay. Well, thank you for tuning in tonight. And I know you sent me over a message telling me that you were doing a little bit of research on bathhouses dating back to how long?
The 15th century.
15th century. Now, a lot of this stuff is not even really new. We have bathhouses, sex houses. I mean, this has been going on for decades, you know, for years, centuries and stuff. So, I mean, it's really crazy. And I just don't know how to feel about it. You know, I don't know. That's what the show is here for. It's not really my opinion, but it's for everyone to just listen. Another person we're going to bring on is a resident who's constantly on the show. She brings a lot of feedback, a lot of energy to the show. Vonna from Detroit, you're on the air.
Hey, Jasmine.
Hey, Vonna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. How's everything going in Detroit?
I'm battling a hair cold right now from a long week of partying and being outside with not much clothes on. But other than that, it's been good.
I know, that's right. Another person we're bringing on is our residential schoolboy from Philly, Marquise Prodigy. You're on the air.
Hey, Jasmine, what's up?
Hey, Marquise, how are you?
Good, chilling. How are you?
I'm good. Say hi to everyone else. We got Champs from Chicago, from LA, and Vonna from Detroit.
Hey, Champ. Hey, Vonna.
What's going on?
Hey, Marquise.
And we're also going to bring on one other person who has been giving us a lot of feedback ever since I started the State of Emergency show. I really don't know too much about him, but I know he always tunes in and has a lot to say. J-Rock, you're on the air.
How you doing, Jazz?
Hey, J-Rock, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
J-Rock, where do you live again? Where are you from?
I'm actually from Dallas, Texas, but I'm residing in Houston because when Uncle Sam tells me to move, I move. But I'm
okay.
Down here in Houston right now, and if you're going to ask about the weather is fine, but if you have sinuses, do not move to Houston.
If you have what?
If you have sinus problems, do not move to Houston. There is pollen everywhere, and I am freaking Benadryl out the game.
Oh, wow.
But other than that, it's good.
Well, that's cool. Well, thank you for tuning in tonight. I already have a couple of callers that did press one. So before we go to any callers, we want to talk about some of the topics that we have here. I want to get your opinions on some of the things. And if you really don't know what to say, just say, I don't know what to say, you know. But the first thing I want to touch up on is all the sex that is happening right now or has been happening for decades, pretty much. And what is your opinion on it? Let's start with ballroom itself. A lot of the children sleeping around for titles, for positions, you know, to move themselves further within the ballroom. Are they? What do you feel about that? And I'm gonna just start with from the top, working my way on down. From Chance, what do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, people are going to do what they have to do to get that grand prize, you know. I mean, people have been sleeping with for how long have people been sleeping with judges to get a trophy? It's like, I mean, I personally don't condone it, but you know, people are going to do what they want to do.
What is that? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I hear a little echo. Here we go with the phone problem. Okay, I don't know where the echo's coming from, but Vonna, what do you feel about some of this?
It's something that's been happening for a while. It's something that people are starting to notice a little bit more because it's becoming probably a little bit more evident in what's going on, and people are starting to notice that that winning streaks are becoming longer, so people are starting to notice things a little bit better. But it's something that's been happening definitely as long as I've been walking, which is over 2 years. So, I mean, you know, it's going to happen. It just depends on the integrity of who the judge is or who the commentator is, because we can't just also blame judges. We have to blame promoters. We have to blame commentators, because a lot of them do the same mess as well.
Well, then that is true. Marquise, what are some of your opinions on it, you know, especially from the younger generation? Do you feel that? What do you feel about it?
Honestly, I really don't feel no way about it because people sleep their way to get jobs in real life. So it's like, it's a thing that goes on both sides. Like, I just say, like, if the people letting them do it, then hey, they must be doing something right.
Okay. J-Rock, your opinion?
Well, personally, I feel like this. Like he just said, it's the same way in the job world. Whatever you do, you got people sleeping their way to the top or to get a status or whatever. But my thing I would just tell everybody is be prepared for the backlash that you're going to get when it's found out that you're sleeping for those wins. Because, I mean, when people start finding that out, don't get mad when people say, well, girl, you're only winning because you're sleeping with such and such. And then, you know, don't get mad because everybody knows. I mean, I just think if, personally, I feel like if I have to sleep with you to get a damn trophy or to get a status, I mean, what does that say about me? But hey, to each his own. But I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong for it, but don't get mad when the backlash comes.
Okay. Well, one thing I want to bring up is, yes, it has been happening for a long time. And yes, you know, it's nothing new in the real world, in the ballroom world, it's nothing new at all. But one thing we need to keep in mind is we are living in a society right now where teenagers are literally becoming infected by the virus. And things of that sort, STDs and everything, at such a teenage age, at, you know, just being a teenager, being so young, fresh into high school, and things of that sort, who is the ones that are responsible for this? Not as far as them, you know, getting sick or anything, the virus or STDs or anything like that, but who is responsible for these young kids, you know, that are doing this for fame, for titles, for money? You know, how can there ever be any control for this? And there's so many agencies out there now that are promoting safe sex, you know, cheat classes, and, you know, protection is always given and things of that sort. But, I mean, what do you say to the parents of, you know, houses or the leaders that are allowing this to happen or that are condoning it or that are participating in it? And, you know, I mean, bottom line, that's the bullshit. A lot of people don't care about their health anymore. And, you know, because they don't care about the next person. So, and the next person could be a 14 or 15-year-old or a 30 or 40-year-old. They just don't care. So something has to give. How do we educate the community or these young children to avoid these situations, because it is now at a point where it's so life-threatening?
Jasmine, can I say something on that one?
Go ahead.
This is J-Rock. I mean, that one right there, like, is very near and dear to my heart for the simple fact I go into a lot of schools and everything, and that was shocking to me to know that from the age of 15 to, like, 21, when I tell you, it's horrible. I mean, anytime you got to give a HIV concert, which means that T.I. and all these people are about to come into your town, it's normally cost $50 to go to this concert, but we're going to give it to you for free if you just take a test. That means that's an epidemic. So that means that they got to lure you out to come get a test. That means that there's something going on in those areas. And what I found with the job that I do, these kids do not want to hear no sugar-coated or no, you can't really give it to them, like, professionally and stuff. Like, when I was in school and everything, the professional pictures and all that stuff, that was enough for me. But now when I teach these teenagers about safe sex and everything, I get in trouble with their parents and everything, but I really don't be giving a fuck. I go deep. I go ham on them. I tell them about the super infection. I tell them their dick going to fall off, and then I show them pictures. I don't give a damn. And then the next thing you know, I make it to where they don't even really want to have sex. Then I tell them, well, if you're going to do it, this is what the condom is for and everything. And then, you know, they pretty much like it just straight up with them. Then when you start giving them, like, testimonials and facts and stuff, they like to see it, facts, you know, and people your age dying, showing, you know, it's crazy. And then a lot of the schools, they say they're teaching it in the school, but a lot of the schools can't teach it because if the parent don't sign off on it and they say, I want to teach my child about safe sex and stuff like that, you can't teach it to them in some states. So then, you know, so I blame it on the parents, and I blame it on some of the schools that don't give it to you straight.
I agree.
And to the chat room, yes, I am country as fuck. I am from Dallas, Texas, baby.
Yeah, Jasmine. Did you want to piggyback off any of that?
I agree, and then I don't agree in some instances, because we have to take a lot of responsibility off the kids themselves as well. The same way you know to pull out your pants, have sex, the same way you know how to smoke a blunt, the same way you know how to learn rap music, the same way you know you and your friends know how to skip school, it's the same way that you know how to put a condom on it. You know what I'm saying? And we can't even say excuse me, I'm sort of battling the code. We can't even say the gay kids because in Cleveland, they shut a whole high school down because of an HIV epidemic. So, you know, it's also the straight kids as well. You know, but it's just taking time to, like, and I agree with one thing that he said, take time for the parents to say something. But then again, how many of us at that age wanted to hear anything? We had to learn it. We had to push for it. You know what I'm saying? So we can try to place the blame on a bunch of different people, but at the end of the day, it's time to stop placing blame and start trying to fix the problem. Placing the blame is not going to clean it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely scary out there. Chance, did you want to say anything about this?
I think that it's not totally the kid's fault, but you know, we are in Generation X, so you know, this is a very rebellious generation.
Mm-hmm.
So kids are gonna do what they wanna do. And that's the bottom line. Whether they know the consequences or not, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with drugs. You know what I mean? But that's it.
Okay. Somebody says, why are we talking about the problems being like these are kids? These are grown ass men and women. They are too old to blame, to be blamed. Well, they are too old to be blamed for the
parents.
Yeah. But a lot of them, Queen Nefertiti, a lot of them are not old. A lot of them are young. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just a lot. We have a lot of callers, and I'm going to start going to them really quickly. And then we'll just take it from there. Touchy subject here. 201-673, you're on the air. 201-673. Okay. 718-304, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Jasmine.
Hi.
Hi. You know, what I have to say is that, you know, sometimes, you know, when it comes to sex, like you said, it is a touchy subject or whatever have you, but the bottom line is that, you know, like someone was saying, that they go out to the schools and they try to teach the kids to protect themselves, and he gives them the raw deal or whatever. He lets them know what it is or whatever. But the bottom line is that we all have our own minds, and if you choose to do the right thing or the wrong thing, there are consequences behind everything you do. So a lot of people have to understand that. So sometimes it takes that consequence for you to understand that this is real. And I guess, I mean, that's just what it is. You know, for some people, it'll take just watching a clip or something like that, like he said, like in the old days or whatever, like, you know. But for some people, it takes them actually to catch either STD or HIV or AIDS, whatever the case is, and then they see, oh, my God, what was I thinking, you know? And
but let's be honest about the people who are contracting, you know, HIV or the STDs. A lot of these people who are contracting it, to my understanding, do not care. They are not caring anymore, and they do not care who they infect. They continue to do what they do. They do not tell their party or who they're with that they're infected. And they continue to go about their business, you know, with clients,
mm-hmm.
or dating, relationships, chat lines, and one-night stands, anonymous sex, and things of that sort. They just don't care. And I think that's such a scary situation.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And also, like, you know, when you get on, like, these websites or whatever the case is, they give you options of, like, and I've never seen it before, but it's, like, it's crazy. Like, the option is, like, anything goes and all this craziness, like, the on A
uh-huh.
for A or whatever. And you have a lot of people on there that has this anything goes. And then you have a lot of people on there their thing, this thing, saying, Lord, this, Lord, that, if crazy. People just don't care. You're absolutely right. They don't care about themselves or no one else.
So my point, thank you so much for that caller. We're going to get to some other callers. My point is that if we are living now in a society that does not care, then you have to start caring more about yourself and not trust anyone. Bottom line is, don't trust nobody, because it's really a scary fucking world out there. And I see it all the time. I hear it all the time. I get the phone calls. I get the messages. And it's like, child, it's a really scary situation. 404-635, you're on the air.
Jess.
Hello.
Jasmine, good night. How are you?
Hi, Tom.
This is Blumenthal.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. This is my first opportunity to listen to the State of Emergency, and I'm really impressed. You're doing a wonderful job, and especially with a topic like this, a very important topic, very powerful and very needed. So congratulations. I'm very happy to hear this type of serious conversation taking place in the community.
Well, thank you, so Tom. It sounds like you're asleep.
No, not asleep. I'm up, just in the bed, relaxing after a long, long day at work. But no, I'm wide awake.
Well, thank you so much. Did you want to say anything about this?
I don't know. I mean, I really just called to tell you I was listening and congratulate you on the good job that you're doing. But you know, I think it boils down to a couple of things: self-worth and self-love, and really just changing a mindset. It's really a mindset that needs to change in the community, not just on this issue, but a host of other issues. And I think it highlights the enormous amount of work that we have to do in our community to correct a lot of things that we have to deal with. That's it.
Well, I agree. And for those of you who don't know, that's Tom Blumenthal, the originator of Blog Talk Radio and the Ballroom Radio Show. So thank you, Tom. I'm going to put you right there. If you want to tune back in or something like that, do me a favor and press one or text me or send me a message if you want to come in and touch up on the topic, okay?
All right. Thanks again, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Tom. RR, you're on the air. Hi, RR.
Hey, Jasmine, how you doing? How's everybody?
Hi.
Hey, Tom.
I just think that when the AIDS epidemic first came out back in the early 80s, that people were so afraid that, you know, as soon as you heard that it was AIDS, you were dying. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And people were being more cautious in their activities. Once they found that there were new drugs coming out and they heard of a drug called AZT, people started saying, well, maybe they're going to find a cure, but I'm still going to be a little more careful. But then when we reached the late 90s, when they started finding medications that were actually working to sustain and leave the disease in a domicile, I hope that's the right word, state, people started being lackadaisical about it because they figured, oh, I can get a shot, and as long as I take my meds, I'm okay, you know. But they don't realize that the HIV virus is just like a person who used to do heroin or crack. You know, it's just waiting for the right time to subside again, and it's never going to leave you. It's still there, and you may be having unprotected sex with someone who may be just like you, and both of y'all are just infecting each other even worse without even knowing it. Or you may be infecting someone who has never ever been infected before with a blatant disregard, without being disregarding, just thinking that because you're taking medications that you can take that chance. But there are no chances to be taken, and a lot of people are taking it for granted that the medications have cured them, especially when they go to their doctors and they hear a result that that your undetectable. And the minute they hear undetectable, they think that they're cured, you know, but you're not cured. It's just like your PO telling you, oh, you're off parole, but don't think they're not still watching you, you know. So at the end of the day, I just think that people need to be more mindful of the fact that you're only being disrespectful to yourself as well as your partner when you don't continue to protect yourself. It's real simple. Just put it on. Just put it on.
Someone brought up a good point. They stated, how can you fear unprotected sex, HIV, when raw porn and raw sex have become so popular? That is definitely something that I have been hearing as of late.
Let me touch on that real quick. And maybe because I'm a no-nonsense, kind of strict kind of person, that maybe that comes at me a little bit different. Okay, it might be a lot of raw porn, a lot of raw stuff that people are seeing, but does that mean that you have to partake in it because you see it? That's the same thing your mother used to tell you when you were younger. If all your friends go jump off the bridge, are you going to jump behind them? You know what I'm saying? Just because you see it, I can see a bunch of them queens that don't wear paint and only have razor bumps. Does that mean that tomorrow I'm going to stop bowling so I can get razor bumps? It just don't work that way.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chance. Chance, I wanted to say something.
Yeah, but sometimes you're dealing with people that have that state of mind that it's all over when they get HIV, so, and they have nothing to lose. They may be ignorant of the programs that we have or the places that they can go to get treatment. And some people just, like RR said, they just don't care.
Well, I think one of the things is that a lot of people still are in the closet when it comes to their health as well, because they feel that they live in a society among other people that are going to ridicule them and attack them for their health, so they're so afraid to reach out and, you know, try to get help. And so someone brought up a good point that said, my question is, why not start having HIV testing on site at each and every bar? And these kids get tested and win a prize and get the ball for free, and getting the ball for free, I think that will make a start to help the kids. I think a lot of different places do that. You know, they do have testing and stuff like that, but a lot of people just do not want to participate. You know, they're just so afraid.
Jasmine.
Yeah.
This is Marquise. I wanted to say one thing on there. I think that could be a good thing and also a bad thing, because if I'm at a ball, going to the ball, and it's 1 o'clock at night, and I find out that I get tested because all my friends get tested just so we can get into the ball together, and I find out that I'm HIV positive, at 1 a.m., there's nothing open that can actually treat me, counsel me, or anything. There's nothing open that can do that, and also my whole mood of the night changed. So that can also make other things occur. Like I can get, because some people who get, you know, HIV don't know what to do. So I can go to the ball, start a fight. You know, I got people in there that I had with that I think I got it. Now I'm in there fighting, I'm cussing them out, and it becomes this big thing. I think people should just, you know, understand that HIV is something serious and just be a little bit more aware. And, you know, older people that's around, younger people, you know, should just teach them. And another thing, when you was like people just having sex with people and not telling them that they're, you know, HIV positive, I think, not saying it's a good thing, but I think people do that because they feel as though that's what someone did to me. So it's like, why should I tell that person when somebody else didn't even tell me? Even though that's a horrible attitude to have, that's an attitude that most people have.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that the attitude might be that if I tell them, they won't love me. And if I tell too many people and the word gets out, I won't be able to have the love that I'm looking for. Yeah.
You know what, I'm going to gag. Like, it gagged me. And I'm going to give you a scenario about what happened and how it is Gag Nation. Okay, it is, and I'm not mentioning any names, of course, but it's a very cute butch queen in this city. And the butch queen is, most 99% of the people in this city know this butch queen has HIV. Now, we were all in the hotel room. The girls were drinking, the girls were doing pills and everything. And the girls were like, you know, the session started where everybody wanted to jack and touch and play. Then the kids knew he was sick and the kids paid it. I have watched this boy on Facebook. We actually be around each other and the girls will read him in public. Oh, girl, we don't want to talk to her, girl, blah, blah, blah. But then I'll look up and he'll be sitting somewhere and he's like, look at this. And it'd be a whole inbox of messages. I don't care about you being sick, girl. That's not my business. So I mean, a lot of people just don't care. You know, a lot of people have an attitude that, you know, I'll keep up the public face and I'll keep up the public image so people won't think that I'm going to be sick. But behind closed doors, they don't care because they're not caring when they're hooking up on BGC at 2 and 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. They're not caring when they're putting their butt pics all up in these little private rooms on Facebook. They're not caring. They want a good time and a net. And everything else that falls afterwards, let it fall as it may.
But what you know what you just said that was very true, I'm going to make it very quick, is that you said people be in an environment where everybody's on something. And once that drug of choice slips into your system, you don't have rational thinking at that point.
There comes to another caller, 201-673, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hi, my name is Bunny.
Hi, Bunny.
Hello, how are you? I was told to get on this call tonight. I want to thank the House of Ebony. They just attended a retreat with my job, and I was told to come on this call tonight because it would be something very informative, and maybe I can share some information with you guys.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I've been listening to some parts of the conversation, and I agree with a lot of things, but I also got to add, an extra little to the conversation. I don't just think that is that people want to just do craziness and, you know, a lot of the other negativity towards different things with the virus and stuff. I think it's so much that a lot of people just don't know. And, you know, for us to do better, we have to know better because most people don't know that, you know, the reason why the virus is spread so far, a lot of people don't know that they have the virus. You know, some people are not getting tested, you know. There's so much information out there for people to know and things for people to do. I mean, and if people get tested and know the options they have for themselves, I think the transmission of the virus can be put down to a minimum. I mean, there's so many different options. Of course, you know, even I guess I need to say, like, even, like, the word AIDS, it scares people. And, like, I need everyone to get away from the word AIDS. AIDS is nothing more than advanced HIV disease. And the word AIDS is just for, it's a medical term, it's for the doctor's use. It's not for people to just be scared. It's just meaning that someone with a, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll just make sure you guys can hear me. That I just want people to just get away from the word AIDS because I know it's a very scary word. We know HIV is a very scary word. But AIDS is nothing more than advanced HIV disease, and it's a medical term for doctors. So when a patient comes in who has HIV and one who has AIDS, they were more than likely to take the patient with AIDS because they know that their system can go up and down because their T cells have dropped 200 or below. And that's all that's for. That word AIDS is just, it's a medical term. So I think that what scares a lot of people. And most people don't know that, you know, when a person is put on medication, once their viral load is undetectable, they have a 92 to 96% chance that they wouldn't even transmit the virus to someone else.
Let me ask you a question. You said a lot of people just don't know their status and things of that sort. Why do you think it is when there's so much information that is out here? Do you think they just don't know because they don't want to know?
I don't think it's so much that they don't want to know. I think there's a stigma when it comes to testing. I mean, because we know that the CDC put out information that black MSMs, men who have sex with men, or same gender loving, or however you want to put it, account for 40% of new HIV cases, which is a major thing. And, like, even though some people do get tested, but then you have to take into consideration, there's a lot of stigma around testing that people are scared to get tested because of the unknown, or people just see you going into a clinic. You could just be going there to get condoms, and, you know, somebody just make the assumption that you're positive, and then the word gets out, you know, it can cause a negative circle, just in a circle of people. We know that talk is cheap, but we know that one negative thing can last for a long time. So I think that's one of the problems, that it's a major stigma in our community when it's around testing. I'm not saying that we don't get tested, because if we didn't get tested, we would have statistics for it. But I think a lot of people they don't really think about tests. They go get tested that one time and just say they're negative. And they could have just had sex with someone who was HIV positive 2 weeks ago or even like 2 months before they got tested. And, of course, you know, it takes up to 3 months for antibodies to develop in a system, and they just think they're fine. And then they go on to do more different things and think that's okay when it's really not. I mean, most people, when they have sex, they're grown, and I would never not tell anybody not to do whatever they want to do. But, of course, you know, using condoms, you know, there's many options for you to protect yourself when it comes to oral sex, anal sex, and then there's many options when it comes to just protecting yourself. And I guess I don't know how much time I have to talk about that. A lot of people don't know that now that the CDC is going in towards using PrEP, and PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. And basically they're going to be given, to sum it up in layman's terms, basically they'll be giving individuals HIV medication beforehand, you know, just to see how, if that's the next step in prevention. But also people don't know that, you know, just say you have sex with someone who's HIV positive. There's a 72-hour period before seroconversion starts, meaning it takes up to 3 days for HIV to basically develop in someone's system. A lot of people don't know that, you know, there's different services. Of course, you would have to look, wherever you're from, you would probably have to look it up to see if they offer it for free. Like I know in Houston and different places that they offer PEP, which is post-exposure prophylaxis, where they'll give you medication for 28 days. Most places are giving Truvada. It's a two-part pill. It was one pill, but it's two medications and one pill, and they'll give the person the medication to take for 28 days, and they have a 90 to 96% chance that they will not develop the virus in their system. But, of course, we know that window period is very vital. That's just some options. Of course, you know, even with oral sex, I mean, there's many things I can talk about, but, you know, there are so many options that people have to just know about. I mean, of course, the internet has so much information. Not saying that all information is accurate, but we know there's a lot of information, and people have to wanna do better. You can't force people to wanna do better, because I mean, there's a stigma. You know, we know there's a stigma just in our community, just being gay. I mean, we're not talking about that, but you know, there's so many stigmas around just the virus in general and just our orientation. But for me, I mean, education is power. I mean, there's so much people need to know about. Then people just focus on HIV and they forget about other STDs. And we know that all STDs can be asymptomatic, which means that you may not have any symptoms. And like a lot of people don't know that when they transmit HIV, syphilis and chlamydia are like best friends with HIV. Usually when a person tests a preliminary positive for HIV, they wind up contracting syphilis or chlamydia. And people don't really think about that, you know, comorbidities or co-infections can put you at risk because, I mean, you know, STDs, not just HIV, are just as important as HIV, but it's important for us. I don't want to just be babbling on, but it's important for us to educate one another, because if we know better, we'll do better.
Can I ask you a question?
And I want to say thank you, Bunny, because that is the most important thing right there, but thank you. Because you just gave a lot of people a lot to hear, a very good lesson. So.
I wanted to say one more thing. And another thing, I always tell people this on what HIV tests. Of course, you know, everybody go get the standard HIV test, where they get the finger prick or the mouth swab. But if a person is ever at the point where, you know, they always tell you, you wait those 3 months, if you ever feel like you're in a situation that you want to know, there's a test that they can take. It's called a nucleic acid amplification test, which is a NAT test. It's an early test, which is a test detects for viral load and not antibodies. So instead of having to wait the 3 months, the test can detect 2 weeks. And I mean, there are some places that give that test free, but of course, if not, I mean, the test is like $150, but, you know, it's all about your sanity, because, you know, some people go crazy over those 3 months trying to wonder if someone gave them HIV. But they have those options with the NAT test, or even going to get post-exposure prophylaxis. I mean, that's just some options. But, of course, you can research it because, you know, education is power, and if we educate ourselves better, we can move on from this virus and how much it affects our community.
Thank you, guys.
I just have one question for you.
Okay.
Do you contract the HIV virus through the semen if you're having unprotected sex, or is it if you have a rip or tear and you get a blood discharge from either person?
Okay. Well, now I'm going to say something that may shock everyone. Of course, you know, there's five ways. Most people think it's four ways to contract HIV. There's actually five ways to contract HIV. It's through blood, semen, pre-seminal fluids, vaginal secretions, and breast milk. And most people forget about pre-cum. I'm going to just say it once. Pre-seminal fluids, I don't know how people talk on here, so I'm just going to say pre-cum and pre-seminal fluids. Most people know there's a higher concentration of HIV in the pre-cum than when a person climaxes. And that's scary because we know some people begin ejaculation pre-cum once they erect. So, I mean, that's something for everybody to know that there's a higher concentration of HIV in pre-cum than a regular semen. And
so bottom line is all the ones that say, well, he didn't come in me. You know, he pulled out before he came, so I should be okay.
That's a no-no because there's a high concentration.
Mm-hmm.
I would never tell nobody not to use condoms because, of course, you know, the two ways to protect yourself is abstaining from sex, which I'm not going to tell a grown-up not to have sex, and, of course, to use protection. You know, I mean, unless you're, like, in a monogamous relationship that you and only your partner are having sex together, y'all got tested regularly, that's a different story. But if you're having random sex or if it's someone you just met, you should always use condoms. And, of course, I'm going to say this, too. I don't want to keep going on because I don't know how long the conversation is. I've never been on this call before. One of my friends just asked me to get on the call. A lot of people know that 36% of people do not put on condoms correctly. Mm-hmm. That's something very scary. 36% of people do not put on condoms correctly. 36%.
So learn how to put on a condom.
Yeah, it may sound fun. Of course, you know, we live in a quick, want-to-go-fast society that they just want to get the condom on and not realizing that if you put on a condom backwards, you're not protecting yourself. If you try to tear a condom with your teeth thinking that's sexy, you may put a hole in the condom. You should always put on a condom in light. You should always check the person's penis and their anus hole to make sure there's no bumps and stuff. I mean, you know, we say the Rocky Mountains, you know, you should always, before you decide to get intimate in the dark, you should always start off in the light. You should always check the expiration date on your condom. You should push the condom to the side before you open up the condom. And I always tell people the blow test. If you blow on the condom and a tip comes out, you know that's the correct way to put the condom on, because if you blow it the opposite way, the tip is not going to point all the way out. And when you put the condom on, you should always kill the air bubble. Because if you don't, the friction can bust the condom. So that's just a few little examples of, I don't know if that's what was a part of the conversation, but of course, like I'm gonna end with just saying education is power. We have to educate ourselves, our brothers and sisters in the community, because once we educate ourselves, we can do better. You know, you have the option of doing better because we're all human, but if you have the knowledge and tools and a buffet of options, you can always do better.
Well, thank you so much, Bunny. I really, really appreciate it. For those of you that are listening, she just gave you a major breakdown, so thank you so much. Did anybody want to piggyback off of what she said? Chance, you want to start off?
I was reading up on the HIV, and it said in 2009, young blacks accounted for 65% of diagnosis of HIV infection reported amongst persons 13 to 24 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Chance. Vonna, did you want to say anything?
I just want to say that, I mean, I totally take the caller for calling in and giving us that kind of information. And it goes back to, you know, us understanding what we're doing when we lay down. Everything is not for fun. And, you know, I like that risk. And most people don't think about what goes on, you know, after sex. And it just, it baffles me to the fact that, you know, a lot of people will sit up and say, well, we should do this and we should do that and we should do this. But no one wants to take down the time to say, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Because most people that hold their head up and say, well, you know, you should do this and you should do that, are not doing it themselves. We have to lead by example a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Definitely as leaders, whether it's in ballroom or not in ballroom, we have to make people understand it. You know, it's a big thing versus knowing and understanding. You can know anything you want, but understanding it is a big difference. And we need to take time as a people to understand what we're doing to ourselves so that we can help educate and make other people better.
Well, thank you, Vonna. Marquise, did you want to touch up on anything?
Not really, because everything that she said, mostly I agree with. I understand it. So, I mean, I'm just off of what she said.
J-Rock?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I mean, what I was going to say about it is she gave a lot of information and everything. But I think a lot of people out there, one thing that she did say is it's a lot of these young people are scared to get the information. And one thing that I found out, and it's a lot of people think they know a lot about HIV. Like I see in the chat room, people are saying stuff like, how do they not know? There's so much information. How do you not know? It's all about the delivery method with this new generation. One thing that I found out just last year that really got me is something that nobody ever talks about. That's the HIV super infection. A lot of people don't even know what that is. And what the HIV super infection is, it's like, say for instance somebody get AIDS, and you know those people that get HIV and they're like, fuck it, I don't care, I got it, so what do I have to live for, blah, blah, blah. When you show them somebody that's 50 years old that's been having HIV for over 25 years and living their life, and then that person tells you, the super infection is like this. All HIV is not the same strand. Which means if person A has a strand of HIV and person B has a strand of HIV, they are very deadly to each other. Because even if you're on an antiviral or anything like that, your antiviral may not be able to withstand the strand that the other person got. So when people go out there just not giving a damn about their life or whatever because they got HIV, what they don't understand is if they take their antivirals and, you know, still use safe sex, they can live just as long a life as somebody that does not have HIV. But when you get in contact with a different strand, you're killing yourself, and that's why these kids are dying at such a fast rate versus these older generations. They go out there, they don't care, and they're thinking that, you know, then they sleep with somebody else with HIV. Those two strands mix, that's the super virus. And I thought that was some very important information because I'm like, look at her, I'm about to be 30 years old. I had never heard of that. I thought HIV was just HIV, but there are people out there that do not know this information. So when they put up in these chat rooms, when y'all in the chat room and stuff and y'all saying, how do they not know? When you hear just certain stuff, there's the regular stuff that everybody tell you and you know, but it's the delivery method. When you start telling them stuff like this and you giving it to them straight and it's some no bullshit like some people's parents, you know, then when you give it to them like that, they understand better because they know you're not just doing this just because I'm mama or just because I'm teacher. I'm doing this because this is your fucking life, little boy. You know, and when I do it like that, for some reason, the kids always tell me, you made me scared to even have sex. And I'm like, well, that's fine. Then, you know, but I always tell them, but I know you're going to do it. So since you're going to do it, this is how you do it safe. And I get a better response like that. So,
okay, well, we have two more callers, and yes, Queen Nefertiti, I do want to go into the other topic. So let's go to the two callers really quickly. I don't like taking private callers, but tonight I'm going to make an exception. Private caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi.
I wanted to kind of just touch about the apathy that kind of surrounds the ballroom community in regards to HIV and AIDS. I went to the Crystal Ball, which was a free ball here in Philadelphia, and they had HIV testing there, and the children paid it, okay? You see the apathy that are in these kids' eyes. They don't care. They see older people who they know in this ballroom community there are so many people who are living with HIV and AIDS, and they feel that because they can take a pill, they can get better. Well, guess what? If you don't care about your health and you don't take your pills on time, you're not going to get better. If you're doing drugs and not taking your pills, you're going to run into major problems. And that's why you see some girls that look fab one moment, and then they're not there like 2 months later. It's like, oh, what happened to Miss Thing? Oh, she passed away. You know, the apathy is scary. And yes, education is power, but what we do with that education is what's really important, because we could be talking till we're blue in the face, but some of these kids still don't care. And a doctor was there at the ball, okay? He was there. They even shot him out. Jay Blonick shot him out. He sat there and enjoyed the ball and didn't test anyone.
Wow.
So that's what.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ghost Whisper. I'm sorry to mute you, but my God, we have a bunch of callers, and we just want to get to them. But that's a mess. 504-485, you're on the air. 504-485, you're on the air. Okay, 410-685, you're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine. This is Big Rich from the chat room and Jason from Facebook.
Hey.
I want to start with, I'm from a generation that what your mother said, you do what I say, you don't do as I do. My gay mother, God rest his soul, was out there and did everything. And because he was out there and he did everything, me seeing him do everything scared me not into doing everything. And watching him die was the most that it just said to me that no matter what happens, you look at everybody when you meet them that they already have it. Even if we don't have that discussion, in my mind, you have it. The problem that I think that we have with this younger generation is that a self-esteem issue, something in self-esteem broke a long time ago, be it the fact that they're from a generation where their parents are basically the same age as them, so they're being raised by a child. And if the child is having unprotected sex, you're going to have unprotected sex. When my mother went out and she hung out and she did whatever she did, my real mother, not my gay mother, but when my real mother did whatever she did it when I was asleep. And when she came back home, I never knew she left the house. The problem is they see too much. It's a microwave generation. And you can put the condoms, you can put the lube, you can put everything there for them, and they're not going to use it. They'll take your money. They'll take your advice. They'll hear what you're going to say. I tell my own gay children, sex kills. Sex is a dangerous thing. Your body is your temple. And what are you saying about your temple when you're sharing it with everyone?
You're right.
I've watched too many, and I just celebrated my 30-something plus birthday on Tuesday. And I sat alone after my gay son went home. I sat alone for a minute and I cried because I counted on my hands how many friends grew up with me, came out with me, that are not here now because at 16 and 17, they wanted to explore the world or they wanted the world to explore them, and they're not here now.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't understand, and they called. They say, oh, well, you late because you're going to school. How am I, you're calling me late because I'm going to school and I don't want to cut school and I don't want to hang out and I don't want to skip out the house and go to this person's house and have sex with grown-ass men that were old enough to be our fathers that are now old enough to be my nephew's grandfathers. And these same grown-ass men, old-ass men, are still in the same positions they were when I came out at 16 or 17. And they're still infected and reinfected. And just it's just horrible. And I say this all the time. I say this in some of the barber rooms. Until we make a stance and we really make a change and we call these people out, because some of us as adults, we know who they are. We know who the father figures and the mother figures and these old figures are that are sick, that are poisoning these young kids and are doing what they're doing. But we pay it. And until we stop paying it, nothing's really going to change. And it's just sad. I don't want to get on a soapbox and be here all night, but I just had to share that. You can put me back on hold.
Thank you, Big Red. Who was saying something?
Jeff McCoy.
No, that was J-Rock. I was saying if I find them, baby, because my thing is ballroom or no ballroom, one thing that I don't tell about is that just going around infecting people, that is a crime. And if I was to find out, and if I knew, baby, you're going under the jail. And I don't care. And I said that meant that and not taking it back. and not fucked up about it.
I wanted to.
Go ahead, Chance.
Yeah, I wanted to piggyback off of what the caller said. I can remember my aunt's friend, one of her lifelong friends. He was gay, and he's in his 40s now, but he got the virus over 20 years ago. I can remember watching him growing up, and you know, he was a nice, tall, handsome man, but over time, his spine started to curve, and he got darker, and his hair got brittle, and his teeth started getting brown. It's like, it's the virus. People don't really see what, you know, what some of this does to you, because it really eats away at your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they could see this over time, that they would be more, you know, because I guess you could say the poster child for HIV and AIDS is Magic Johnson, and he looked just as healthy as a horse. So you don't really see, I mean, me personally, I don't really see anybody else in a different state other than Magic, you know, that has HIV.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean,
Rana, go ahead.
I just have a question, and maybe it's a statement to or as far as questions. I come from a different generation of gay. I've watched people deteriorate. I've watched people be healthy. I've watched people do a lot of things that came with HIV. But the main topic, the main question is, what can you do if you offer a person a condom, if you give them education? When you give them education to most kids that can't barely read or write themselves, but you want them to understand HIV information, which to me baffles me. Again, we have to start somewhere way before HIV. Everybody is pushing the fact that these are children. Some people are children, and you can teach children sometimes. But some of these people that you want to call children, that you want us to push these things off on, are adults. And you can't make adults do anything that they don't want to do. And everybody's making it seem like, oh, well, we do this and we do that, and if we do this and we do that, then maybe we can change. If that's the case, we would have changed 20 years ago. HIV is a crowd control. People don't seem to understand that. It was to control the masses so that we could kind of limit the number of people we had going into the new decade. It's information that you can read, but how can we give you information, or how can we educate you about something when you barely know how to read, write, or do anything yourself, but go to a ball or go to a party, or but have sex?
Girl, you have said that, because I've been witnessing a lot lately with a lot of people who just don't read. And I, like you said, they don't read, period. So how are you going to give them information where they just don't read? They don't even read categories. I get so many calls about, can you explain the category to me? Can you look up so-and-so's fall and tell me what the category means? And it's right there in front of them, but they just do not take the time to read. It's like if they see too many words, it just crumbles up and they just don't understand. So how are you going to read anything? So that's a problem that we have. That's just a major, major problem. You know, it just mind boggles me. 267-294, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi,
everybody. Hi, Rome, everybody. This is Amina Prodigy. I'm actually going to be really, really brief, because I've been listening to the group, and it's become like a mystified soapbox. So I just want to cut things to the chase. I understand everybody's been like divulging their stories and all of that about the things that they have seen and the deterioration of people and of communities.
Right.
And all of that. And I understand that it is a terrible disparity. However, three things need to be done. One of them is just making sure that we enforce, you know, the use of prophylactics and safer sex barriers. That is something that we're just going to have to talk about until we're blue in the face. That's some hard work that we're just going to have to do if we're working in this field. That is going to happen. Two, for the people who work in this field as providers, we have to continue to be engaged in the people that we reach, not just the children, but the adults as well. When people come to my office, they come to me and they're like, look, I want to get tested, but I'm scared to go. So I take a break. I put a sign on my door that says I'll be back in 10 minutes, and I walk with them to wherever the testing site is, be it on the 8th floor or down the street, and I walk with them. So if they receive a result that they can't necessarily deal with, I am that counselor on site that will help them with follow-up. A lot of times I hear a lot of people talking about we give them condoms, we give them education. You can't keep giving them paper and plastic and expect them to learn anything. And if they can't read, then talk to them. If they can't read and write, then educate them. The people who have those kind of opportunities afforded to them, pass it on, because guess what? Maybe they're not getting it in school because they're tired of getting beat up in school. So maybe if they can talk to somebody that looks like them or comes from the same community that they come from, it'll be easier for them to understand. I sit there and I teach my gay children that I have, and I have plenty of them, and they learn from me, and I see them learning from me. And sometimes I get a phone call like, you know, thanks for looking out and this and other, but that's not what it's about. It's about saving lives. So if we're going to do that, that's what we need to do. Also, us as providers, we need to get in our government's asses and constantly lobby about making sure that things like, you know, risk reduction services and all of those things are still implemented in our programs, because they're taking money from that. Now what they're doing is they're hoarding in on the people who are positive. They're saying, oh, we only want to deal with people who are either currently positive or currently in treatment, which basically what they're saying is if they're not sick, we don't want to be bothered. There's something bigger going on than just, you know, all of these other things with, you know, with the inner community stuff and educating them this and making sure they use condoms that. No, there is a bigger power here that wants our communities of color to die. So what they're saying is that if you're not sick, then we're not going to give you any money. Or if you're not going to help people that are sick, then we're not going to give you money and, you know, in order to keep these programs implemented and to keep them running. So what they're doing is they're snatching the funding, snatching our foundation under from under our feet, and then we can't give our community anything. So we have to keep fighting, and then when we inspire our young leaders and teaching them about safety and about prevention, we have to make sure that they are charged to be leaders to the even younger communities that are coming out. There needs to be a ripple effect, and the cycle needs to break. But those are the things that need to happen. I understand that people are upset, and some people, they have a lot of apathy, and I kind of don't blame them, because there is a sort of don't care sort of attitude. I'm not a fan of, you know, the testing van and stuff being at the balls and stuff all the time because of the whole thing of, you know, stigma versus do I really want to go in there? Are people going to be in my business? I don't know what's going on. So sometimes that one-on-one connection is a whole lot better with getting people, you know, tested and getting them in treatment, or getting them tested, and if they're negative, make sure that they stay that way. Sometimes it's just stepping our foot out a little bit more and being the parents that they didn't have, that means the world to them. But it's got to be more than just shoving paper down their throat for them to read if they can't, or giving them condoms and be like, look, learn how to use it, or this is how you're going to use it. No, make sure that they do. Some of it is about the scary story. Some of it is about watching, you know, other people, you know, living and struggling with this debilitating disease. And then the other part is like, look, like you can save this person's life and you can save millions of others. You can be that person to turn that around. If we start giving them that sort of power and let them know, like, look, you can change things. Don't wait on anybody else. You can change. You can change what's going on here. So I try to bring that approach to people in my line of work and let them know that they actually have the power. And all we're doing is just making sure that that continues to manifest. But that's it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your input. And I hope people are really listening to this, because it's very informative. We got one more caller, and then we're going to change up the topic a little bit. 770-374, you're on the air.
Well, hello. How is everyone doing this evening?
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. You know, this is my first time actually listening to this show, and I heard the number from someone I was talking to in the hair salon. And I remember many years ago, I lived in New York. I'm a New Yorker. I now live in Georgia. When I graduated college some years ago, I moved here. And I was thinking about something that someone just said, and I'm like, I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, the information that's being given. It's about the association. You know, when people find out that they have this disease, it's a horrible attachment that goes to it, that death is soon to come, that your hair is going to fall out, you're going to get dark, and people become afraid of that. They become afraid of the stigma. And so it does keep them in the closet about getting tested and wanting to know their status and wanting to do research on the disease. I think what needs to happen, I remember when I used to attend balls a long time ago, when I was a young film queen, I used to go to the balls and attend them. It was a family community, and they were really supportive of each other. Over the years, I haven't been in many years, but I've noticed just from watching on YouTube and hearing about the disagreements of fights, it's changed so drastically. And so I think that a lot of times when people enter into these houses and into these ready-made families, they feel like they have to prove themselves. And by proving themselves, it doesn't mean being positive. It means, you know, doing what you're here to do and not discussing my personal business, because then you become an outcast due to your disease. And I think that what should happen is that we probably need to go back to the fundamentals of the beginning of when I used to attend, and, you know, the house mothers really were your house mother, and they really stuck on you, and they got on you about not only schooling but taking care of yourself. You know, it seems like some of that has lost along the way, and it is unfortunate. And thank you for listening to me. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling in. Thank you so much.
No problem. Jasmine, to lighten the mood a little bit, you know, it's always important to express to the kids to just wrap it up, because you don't want to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Chance, did you want to piggyback off of anything before we kind of change it up a little bit?
No.
Vonna?
No, actually I do. I agree with the caller, most of the callers that have called in really, really, oh my God, it's bothering me again, because let's say this, we're saying like, okay, it's something bigger than what we are expecting. It's something bigger than we need to teach people how to do this, we need to teach people how to do that, which is understandable, but she went to something about, you know, getting in the government. You want us to get on the government about HIV when most people don't even know who their state representative is or who is in office or who is anything. So we have to educate heavily about everything before we can go to something as, not even as minute, but something as HIV. We have to be an educator completely, not just on one or two topics and think that things are going to change tomorrow, because they're not, because we don't educate about the things that matter, so why will we educate about things that most people don't want to hear about in the first place? We have to be a major educator and a major pusher of learning all things and not just one or two things.
Mm-hmm. Marquise?
I just wanted to kind of piggyback on what Amita said. Like, we always talk about HIV and talk about getting people tested, but I think after that's done, we never try to actually follow up and see how they do it, because that's like a big thing to somebody. So I guess the follow-up part is also a big thing. If people focus more on the follow-up part and stop treating people like outcasts, maybe more people will be accepted to get tested, or feel, you know, like it's okay to get tested and I don't got to worry about if everybody's going to talk about me and, you know, I can't come around certain people no more and I'm not liked no more, because that's the worst thing to feel, not liked or not comfortable in the around an environment where you want everybody to feel comfortable with you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Uh-huh.
No, I'm just listening.
Okay. J-Rock?
No, the only thing I would have to say is when I hear them keep saying that this is more than just kids and it's more grown-ups, I think everybody that do read need to, like, go on Wikipedia and look up millennials, because it starts from the mid-70s all the way up to the early 2000s. If y'all just read that, it will really open up y'all mind on why kids, well, I wouldn't say kids, because if you were born in the mid-70s, you're grown now, so why this generation thinks the way that they think and how to get that delivery method on there, like that young lady came on and said. And then, like you said, even yourself, Jasmine, these kids don't read. You can have pamphlets out the game, but they don't. They're not going to read it. They don't read it. It's more of the delivery method. But other than that, I really don't have nothing else to say.
I think we got two more callers, and I think we lost Vonna, so I'm going to wait for her to call back in before we go to the next on it. 267-259, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, how are you?
Hi, Maya.
Yes, I was just listening, and, you know, it's a good topic, and I'm glad you brought it up, you know. So it needs to be discussed.
Yes, it does.
Yes, and I'm just listening.
Well, thank you, Maya. Thanks so much for listening. Even some of our representatives are comedians do listen, and it's a touchy subject for everybody. Hold on, my phone dropped.
I have a question. What does an escort do when a client, when they're stern in using condoms, but then a client says, "Well, I'll give you an extra $200 if you don't use the condom." Do you think that that's more of a motivation for them not to use a condom, and they see dollars rather than life?
I want to say something to what Aura just said, Aura. I really, really think, like, when people be in situations like that, I really think they just worry about making their money and being on their grind, because, like, escort is their job. So if somebody said, I'm going to give you an extra $200-$300 to do this or do that, I really think that they go ahead and do it just because that's the only way that they're making their money right now. That's it.
Vonna, you're back.
Okay. To touch on what Aura just asked, and I'm telling you from a point where I work in escort, I didn't do it because of my own personal life. That was something different for me. But I've known people who, you know, if you need that extra $200 or $300, even that extra $50 or $20, you know, a lot of those people would do it and wouldn't think twice about it. You know what I'm saying? It's the same way you don't think twice about it when you land up in a bed with this boy and he's so fine that you just want to have him no matter what happens. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to escorting, yeah, a lot of the girls, or even butch queens that escort, will pay that condom if the day dollars, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to a caller real quick. 352-999, you're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine. This is Danny Couture. Hi, everybody out there. Well, based on this subject right here, yeah, I actually do escort sometimes. And or it's dates out there that do say they give you extra money, but that's up to you to take it or not. Actually, it's all a mind game. You could tell a person anything they want to hear and get anything you out of them for the money, and don't have to do it after. So I don't understand that with some of the dates. I've been on dates with other clients, with other escorts before, and I've seen them do stuff raw. I actually did stuff where you probably take a client phone and stuff, and you see the texts that go through their phone, and the shit that they say that they have HIV, that they don't take their medication, that shit like that, and then it makes you think, like, you can tell anybody you don't have nothing. You could tell anybody that you do have something, but you never know deep down inside. And you could pass this stuff on to anybody, and you never know where their life is. And I don't know, but it's not safe sometimes to people to have sex unprotected, and it's not safe for people to have sex with people anyway, because you never know if the condom's going to pop. You never know. It's a risk having sex, period. So I just want to say it's good to wrap it up all the time and think wisely when you're having sex with people.
Well, thank you so much, Danny. I really appreciate you calling in. I think Bunny wanted to say something again. Bunny, you're back on the air.
Bunny, you're back on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Bunny.
Hey, this is Bunny again. I mean, there's been so many amazing things going to hurt someone who actually work in the field. Also, I commend them for their hard work because I work in the field. It was just one extra thing I want to say before I get off on a call to listen. I think this is so amazing. Someone mentioned something about the super virus. I just want to say something quickly on that. And there was one more thing that I'm going to get off on a call. the super virus part is very important, because most people don't know that there's about 47 medications, well, antiretroviral medications, but there's only 3 cocktails. Out of all those pills, there's only 3 regimens. So, of course, it's best to reserve all your regimens. And what he said about the super virus is very important because, of course, if you lose a regimen, that's a treatment failure. So it's very important for people to know that even if they read about medications and stuff, even if there's like 47 pills each year, that there's more pills, like there's a new type of triple appeal, but there's only 3 regimens, and that's very important. We have to reserve our cocktails. One more thing I wanted to speak on, I know we didn't talk about, was oral sex, and I know a lot of people don't think about oral sex. I just want to speak on that. Most people don't think about oral sex as a high risk because, of course, you know, unprotected anal and vaginal sex is the highest risk, but there's still a lot of risk involved with oral sex. Of course, you know, you can use the oral condom or a dental dam or, you know, different things. But, like, of course, we know there's people who don't like to use the oral condom and stuff, and they need some of the options for themselves. There's a 3 to 6 hour period that you should not brush your teeth before or after oral sex because you put your mouth at risk for getting STDs, including HIV. One person should know that you should not use Listerine, and we know that people like to grab Listerine to wash out their mouth before sex or whatever kind of reason. It's a no-no because the alcohol content in our mouthwash should be too strong, and of course, it'll make you put your mouth at risk. What we tell people to use is either some toothpaste or peroxide, and of course, most people think peroxide is for first aid kit, but actually peroxide is natural mouthwash, and you can use that before or after. I'm not saying that it's 100% safe, but that's just an option. That's the only thing extra I wanted to say because it's been so much vital information. I mean, this is awesome. I mean, I work in the field, and I commend all those who want to know more about HIV and AIDS. I mean, I commend everyone on that.
I think Chance wants to say something. Chance, did you want to say something to Bunny?
Yeah, I got tested one time, and the dude that was testing me said that the HIV virus cannot be passed for swallowing.
Okay. The reason why, you can look it up, okay, when it comes to oral sex with swallowing and spitting, you can read up that it's safer to swallow than spit because when a person swallows, more than likely the semen is going to go through your digestive system and your stomach acids will more than likely kill the semen because I mean, it's all about the washing of your system and your stomach acids will kill the semen. Now, when it comes to the reason why they say they don't spit, but of course, as an adult, I'm not going to tell you not to spit because I just gave you the option with the peroxide because whenever you finish oral sex before and after, you should wash it out with the peroxide instantly after. But the reason why they say don't spit because, you know, of course, you know, our gums are very sensitive. Whenever you brush your teeth, you're going to always have cut in your gums and blood product. Even though you don't see it, you're going to always have blood product in your gums because our gums are that sensitive. So when you spit out the semen, there's a potential chance that the semen can be pushed into your bloodstream. That's the reason why they say don't spit. But, of course, I'm not going to tell you not to do that because you're an adult. Of course, you have the option of using peroxide because some people will tell you to spit out. Some people will tell you not to put it in your mouth, but I'm not going to tell you that because you're an adult.
Let me ask you a question because I'm confused now. So you're saying it's safer to swallow than to spit. And if you swallow semen, the stomach acids will eat the semen, so it's all right for somebody to come in your mouth and you swallow it?
You can read up on it. I mean, I'm not.
No, I'm not saying that you're not giving good information because it's very good. It just made me ask a question that, you know, I know it may sound crazy that I'm asking it, but I really need to know because I'm just asking.
I'm gonna have to say this. I'll say that there's no stupid questions when it comes to something that is killing us every day. That we account for 40% of the virus is never a stupid question when it comes to something about your sexual health. According to books, I mean, you can read on, like, it's safer to swallow than to spit. Some people would take you not to put it in your mouth. I mean, of course, you're human. You may do whatever you want, but it's important for you to have those options. If you do swallow, you know, that it's going to go through your digestion, that more than likely your stomach acids will kill it. Now, I'm not saying there's not a chance that you can't, but when it comes to swallow and spitting, you can have a cut in your mouth and you spit, the pressure can push your semen to your bloodstream, which will eventually affect you, but if you decide to not catch it, swallow or spit instantly after, you should wash your mouth with peroxide. And that's the best tool I can give you because at the end of the day, it's important for me to give you a buffet of options for yourself. And like I always tell people with the peroxide, make you a blow-on-the-go bottle. It may sound funny, but you know, we know peroxide is only 50 cents. And if you're going to Walmart or any store like Target, you know, they have those little travel bottles that come in different colors. Fill it up with peroxide. It fits in your pocket just like condoms, and you have your blow-on-the-go.
Well, thank you so much, Bunny, again, for your input. And that's a lot. I think if you're sucking anybody's dick, you should be rinsing your mouth out peroxide and brushing your teeth and everything right after, because it's crazy.
What's crazy? Sucking dick?
Sucking dick and just going about your way. Who's going to suck a dick and then eat a sandwich right after?
Oh,
go brush your teeth and rinse your mouth out with peroxide and bitch, go drink some bleach.
You know these girls are bad shit. Just like they can come and talk to you in your face and ask you your cigarette and everything.
Yes, it would come just all on your lips and all the rest of it. Child, please.
But you know what's really fierce? A boy lets you suck his dick, and, like, say before you suck the dick and y'all have a foreplay, y'all kissing everything, but as soon as you suck his dick, he don't want to kiss you no more. But it was his dick.
I mean, bottom line is, you got to care about yourself. Take care of yourself. Bottom line is, you're having sex, go take a shower afterwards. Brush your teeth. Rinse your mouth out. Take care of yourself. And that's what the problem is now. People don't take care of themselves. But on
no,
the next stop, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying, or they're doing it inside of these bars and these bars and these parties, but they don't have time to go home and do nothing. So
they really don't.
They come out and walk and pay in and do drugs with the girls and smoke blunts and smoke cigarettes with the girls and pay in.
Now, with all this that was said the first hour of the show and everything that was talked about and how scary it is out there, why would a person run around sleeping in circles, having three ways, four ways, group sex, and things of that sort? Is it safe, no matter how many condoms and no matter what you're doing? How safe is it? And what are you saying about yourself? The girls that are sitting here sleeping with this one, and then a week later sleeping with this one and that one, and child, this one and slept with that one, and bitch, she got a big dick, and now I got to have it because my girlfriend had it. And, girl, what is really going on with these circles, these three ways? I know some of these people that are listening because, you know, I know the date. You're sitting there and you're sleeping, or you're allowing your lover to sleep with other people, and you're sitting there and you're watching this happen. You know, you get a kick off of this. You know, all the parties and child, yes, two people, this boy was sucking me and my lover's dick at the same time. And, I mean, what is all this going on? How safe is it and what is it? You know, I know people are freaky. I know people are, you know, they like to do certain things. But we are living in an age right now where everything is so damn scary because these people are not caring about themselves anymore. And, how, you know, what does that say about you? Isn't it scary? Aren't you scared? What do you guys feel about all that? I'm going to start with Chance. Chance?
Yeah, I think it's very dangerous because, I mean, you can never pinpoint where it's coming from. You know, that's how a lot of people got hepatitis C. And you know, it's just say you have six people, who's to say who's lying, you know what I mean, just to get a quick nut or just, you know, just to have fun.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how fun is it? You know, is that really, really fun, Marquise? You know?
Not for me.
I'm not asking you if that's something you, you know, condone or anything like that, but I'm sure you know the girls do that. What do you think about that when you hear it or when you see it?
Wait, can you repeat the question again? I'm sorry.
The girl that is sleeping in the circles and the three ways and the four ways and the groups and bitch, we just had a sex party in my house and da 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 da. What do you feel about all that?
I really don't have no feelings because it's like, I mean, if that's what you want to do, get out there as long as you're protecting yourself, I guess. Like, some people use this sex as an expression of themselves. So, I mean, these are sexual people. They like to do it. So as long as they play it safe, I feel like, you know, and that's what y'all into. Different strokes for different folks.
Well, I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to be real truthful with you. I used to be a frequent player of sex parties, and I'm not going to sit here and lie because I like to keep shit 100. And when I went to sex parties, I went to these sex parties where you had to have a certain look in order to get in and all this other stuff. So when you got in, everybody was basically what everybody was looking for. And what usually happens is you'll target the person that you like, And when you start foreplaying with that person, next thing you know, someone is foreplaying with you. But you still have to be in a mindset of how much you're going to let somebody foreplay with you and what they're going to do. And in my position, there were just certain things that when people started doing it, I would just move, take my hand and move them away from it or stop them from doing it without verbal talking, because you can still do that, you know. So it's not, it may sound like a lot is going on, but you still have control of the situation.
Jay Rock, what do you feel about all of it?
I'm kind of like, I'm like with RR, I ain't going to sit up here and just be like no freaking, act like I'm an angel, because as anybody that know me know that I am a sailor. So I am a real sailor. So sailors do a lot of things. This don't even got nothing to do with gay, because I've seen some things in Virginia and San Diego when it comes down to sailors and just straight people going in these sex parties and all this kind of stuff and sleeping around, because you got to realize some of these girls, we call them Navajos, like Navy hoes. They just go from ship to ship to ship to ship. And if you're the new guy, you don't know that this is the hoe on base. And you know what I'm saying? So she, you know, a woman is looked at as a hoe, but a guy can go fuck as many people as he want when it comes to straight. Now, when it comes to the gay life, I never knock somebody for getting they stabbings and whatever they want to do. Do you, if that's what you want to do. But just know that there, for everything, for every action is a reaction. For everything you do, there's a consequence. So if you're not ready for that consequence and you're not ready to handle the backlash that comes from, you know, like having a lot of sex or whatever, or either if somebody was to find out that and somebody called you a hoe, like if somebody was to call me a hoe today, I'll be like, well, I'm a paid hoe, okay? Then it does not matter, you know, but other than that, I really can't speak on that in a negative way. My main thing is be safe, you know what I'm saying? But because they going to have sex. That's why they call it recreational sex now, because people are just going around fucking for enough to say, hey, I had a good time today. I fucked. So
I got you. A lot of people are doing it, and, you know, they're doing it for a good time. But my issue is we're living in a society right now where everything is just so scary. You know, are people scared doing these things?
But
how
you
got to
also understand, Jasmine, that people are still, they may be a little frightened, but they still have this curiosity. You know, you hear about it, mm-hmm. and you want to say, well, I want to say at least I tried it once. You know, and mm-hmm. sometimes you try something once and it's so good, you keep going back. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's how you get mm-hmm. caught up. You really do get caught up like that. I'm sure the first girl that ever took a pill and went to the hotel after the ball with a group of friends said, I'm just going to go and watch. And it got so hot and heated, before you know it, that person was involved. And then the next time, that's
yeah.
what they expected to do after the pill.
You're right. You're right.
Some people
yeah.
get to turn on.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. To piggyback off of RMJ Rock, I bust my own. I just couldn't stand. I used to be, let's put it that way, a little freak. You know, I had my times where I, you know, did my threesomes in my groups and my get downs. You know what I'm saying? I knew what was safe. I knew how to play. I tell even my own gay kids, you know, they think because I'm a film queen now that, you know, my life, you know, stopped once I got breast. But, you know, like I tell them, I say, it's the same way when I was a boy. I kicked it back. I have fun. Me and my lover of 2 years have had threesomes before. We have done our own little, you know, things to keep our relationship, you know, where we think it should be. And so it's nobody's business but mine, whatever I do when I lay in my bed. But it's like, you know, like Marquise and like J-Rock, anybody else said, you know, it's about being safe. It's about playing. I can control the aspect of what I do sexually. I can control who's going in. I can remember a time when I was 18 in Atlanta, and I was in the house with Chanel at the time. And Fred and them, we all went to the palace, and the little boy had talked me into going in the basement in the palace. And most people who knew that type of basement of the palace here back then, you know, it was freak rumpled. Room. And Fred and them thought I was late. You know, they didn't want me to be, you know, in the midst of a bunch of bullshit. So, you know, they came in the room and flashed light and tried to look for me in the room. I hid because I was getting ready to get my life, girl. Fuck what y'all talking about. But, you know, I do understand the fact of what people think is scary, or people think that, you know, it can cause a lot of harm, which it can. But it's about how you do things in the moderation of the way you do things.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I am getting texts and messages all over the place. So if you are on the line, then press 1. I will bring you on. If you're on hold already, press 1 again if you want to talk about this topic. Text me if you want to talk about this topic. We're going to go to some callers. TJ, Ms. Rahi, you're on there.
What's going on, y'all?
All right, TJ, what's going on?
I'm at the club. I'm getting a bunch of text messages telling me to call into the radio show. What's going on?
For sure.
A lot, TJ. We're talking about people sleeping in circles, three ways, four ways, group sex, and things of that sort.
Oh, what? Oh, that's trying to be spicy. What are you telling me to call in about? I don't do none of that.
You're a fun time girl.
TJ, your background is too loud, sweetie. We can't go through that. But
you know what gets me, though, Jasmine, and I'm going to say this. What gets me is that there could be 1,000 people listening, and there could be a few of us on the line who are keeping it 100. But you know what? People have this tendency to always want to act like they're angels. And I don't think that there's anybody, including you, Jasmine, without being disrespectful, that hasn't had more than one partner at one time.
Oh,
you understand? And I just think that we need to stop trying to sugarcoat shit so these young kids can hear it for once and stop thinking that we're saints because we're not. Now, some of us did escape. Some of us have escaped, you know, becoming HIV positive because of some of the things that we did do safely. But then you also have to remember, we're talking so that you don't have to contract
deal
it
with
and let you know that the fantasy is a lie. Three is not that much fun. It's a lot harder work, and sometimes you don't get yours because once somebody gets theirs, another one gets theirs, they leave.
Yeah, they pay it. Oh, they pay it.
So if you didn't get yours, baby, it's too bad. You got to wait to the next round.
You better be like Trey, bitch. You better be like Trey. You better get it first, honey. All that waiting around and trying to pussyfoot and trying to make sure everybody else has fun, you better get it first.
Exactly, exactly.
But you know what?
Go ahead.
You know what? This is J-Rock. That's what I was trying to say about. That's what I was trying to say about the new generation. When we try to, you know, when they see somebody real and say, oh, you did it? Oh, my God. Like me, a lot of people would never, ever, there's probably people on this line right now. I'm getting so many text messages. Oh, my God, Daddy, I did not, you know, baby, I'm not no angel. But when people hear you say that, they have more respect for you and respect what you have to say after that.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. You're right.
You know what's funny? You know, a lot of people are looking at us and saying, oh, my, you know, they, what I call clutching their pearls like they're in church. But most of the people that are texting, definitely people like TJ, because that's my hometown. People who are texting people like TJ, people who are texting us, because I'm getting like a flood of texts on both my phones. These are the same people that I've had threesomes with. These are the same people that have asked me and my husband to have sex with us. So all of this, everybody clutching their pearls, and everybody's so shocked. Everybody's so appalled about us being real. Maybe if you can yourself, maybe you'll get a better understanding of yourself instead of touching your pearls at me, because I'm grown, so I got me. Worry about you.
Exactly.
Yeah. We got a whole bunch of callers that are pressing 1 again. Let's get to some of these callers really quickly. 973-207, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on?
Hey.
Okay. You know, like, I respect all this real stuff. That's what I'm talking about right there, you know, because the LGBT community, particularly, you know, the males, need to just wake the fuck up, like, real talk, you know? But I wanted to touch on something you guys didn't bring up yet.
Okay.
That's these porn directors. These porn directors have a lot of influence on what a lot of men in the gay community are doing because they watch a lot of porn.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I keep it 100. You know what I'm saying? I watch lots of porn, and the porn that we're seeing now versus porn 10, 15 years ago is not the same thing anymore.
It's a different porn.
You know, it's getting raunchier and raunchier and raunchier, and all this bareback, you know, no condom, cream pie,
okay,
coming, ass, and all this shit is making all the money. That's where it's at.
Uh-huh.
It's not the same anymore because now, you know, it seems like the more risque and the more dangerous and the more freaky the shit is, the hotter it seems to be. And everybody wants to go out and do it, the shit that they see that these people are doing the porn. Like the shit that you see them that they doing each other in these porns now is like, what the fuck? You know, it's not the same anymore, you know. Like being safe and wearing condoms, it seems to be played out now. Now it's all
and
about
you know what,
interaction.
I'm glad you brought that up because just like you said, in the porns now, they're doing raw sex to each other. And it goes back to what he was talking about the HIV thing. Like both, they usually say when two people are doing it raw, that both of them have signed off that they've been tested, and either both of them are positive or both of them are negative. You understand? But if you got two people that you know both are positive and they both having sex, then you're really not paying in your mind that they're killing each other even more.
Thank you. I have a question, Jasmine.
Go ahead. Thank you, Carla, for calling in and bringing that up. Go ahead.
I have a question. This is something that I've always thought about. Okay, anybody that knows about porn, back when porn all this stuff first started, it was raw and everything. Then, you know, around about the late 80s and stuff, when the HIV and all that stuff started coming about, everything was protected. Every porn that you put on, if y'all know about the tape porns, because some of these kids don't know about VHS. When you put the tape in, it say protected. They couldn't even sell unprotected porn. When did it, like, I thought it was against the law, but then when I started seeing it, I'm like all this raw dogging and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like,
it's still against the law for them to do that. But what happens is you have an underground distribution person who can do an underground distribution, and it can still leak out like anything else.
So, like on the internet. So my thing is this: that's why, like, when the government be tripping me out. So the FCC can ban Janet Jackson because she showed a titty, but they can't ban raw dog sex on the internet. That doesn't make sense to me. That's just something that always intrigued me. They can ban what they want to ban. So my thing is, why are you allowing? If you have control of the internet and you're maybe that's something I need to ask on my end of the, because why you just can't ban that? You know, I don't know. Because the first time I seen porn, I thought everything was supposed to be protected, but then all of a sudden it went back to raw dog.
Well, I'm gonna say this. Back in the 90s, I used to work with Vivid Entertainment, and I used to do a lot of porn with different people. Not be in it, but I used to get people. I did casting for porns.
You
were
a fluffer?
No, I could never be a fluffer, but, you know,
oh, okay.
I thought about it. I did think about it. But anyway, what happens is that from the straight porns that I was doing, castings for, and anybody who knows me, they've seen the talent that I've actually put into porn because I brought them to balls after I was done with them. So they would have to bring papers stating that they went to make sure that at this time that they didn't have any venereal diseases. They weren't concerned about HIV. They were more concerned about venereal diseases. That goes back to the VHS days. You understand? So now that we're in the DVD days, you know, they are claiming that you have to have papers stating that the person is not HIV positive. But there is a law that if a person, say for instance, you're a porn star and you're negative, and they give you somebody who's a porn star that says he's negative, but he's not negative, and you can track something from that person, you can sue that person and the director. And that director can also lose his license.
Wow. Okay, let's go to another caller because we have a bunch. 347-426, you're on the air.
Hey,
what's that noise?
Hey, y'all, what's up? It's Keisha.
Hey, Keisha.
How are you?
Fine.
Hi,
Hey, Keisha, what's up, girl? What's going on? You have some questions. I know you got one.
I was going to get my boy voice, but I guess I'm going to keep my little alter ego. First and foremost, kudos to the listeners and kudos to the people on the panel who's keeping it real. And we all know that in the gay community and gay society, you know, sex is big and is booming. And a lot of times people, you know, they have sex because they're curious. They have sex because their girlfriend's having sex. They have sex because their girlfriend is, like, kind of pushing them. Oh, girl, he got trade. And all this is going through people's head. And a lot of times, you know, it's like a competition type thing. if you get my drift.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being real. I remember when I first came out, and when I first came out, I wanted to have a lover. But I always got ridiculed. Oh, why are you with him? He's old. Why are you with him? He's old. And I'm like, I don't want to sleep around because people educated me on the repercussions if you sleep around. And me coming out in the late 90s, it wasn't cute. Mm-hmm. It was not cute. But deep down, I felt pressured that I was like the rest of other people because I always had somebody. But then I was like peer pressured. To like, no, girl, you need to get your life, girl. You young now, because when you get old, nobody's going to want you. So get your life, girl, get your life. And y'all know that sometimes peer pressure, knock on wood, is to be a real bitch. And I could imagine with this generation, I could imagine what they're going through. You know, having the best clothes, having the best styles, making the most coins, going to the best fab. Fuck education, fuck protected. They have to keep that status. Because once they fall off, they're like nobody. And peer pressure, I think, is a bitch.
Yeah.
I can talk till they turn blue, but y'all know, these kids don't give a fuck. Because if they can get that $500 pair of sneakers and they got to do what they got to do, they got to do what they got to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my personal opinion. And like I said before, I don't judge nobody. Because if you ain't perfect and you got scales in your closet, who are you to judge anybody on what they do?
Well, I always say people who judge don't matter, and people who matter don't judge.
And another thing, I have a problem when people are so quick to throw someone's status, and they're the ones that are suffering, and they're the ones who are going around spreading it, but yet they're so quick to spread someone else's business. I have a personal problem, and I know a lot of people.
Well,
that does
I always feel like, listen, I think status throwers are like the boys on the corner. You got five boys on the corner, but only one is going to say, look at that faggot. You know why? Somebody, please tell me why.
Because he's the one fucking
Thank
the boys
very much.
So
when a
on a low low.
When a bitch start pointing her finger and say, oh, that bitch is positive. Oh, look at that bitch. She looks sick. That's the bitch you need to turn around and ask them, when did you get tested?
Uh-huh.
And that'll stop the bitches from talking when you start talking to them like that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Keisha. I'm going to keep you right there. Thank you so much. I always love when you call in. 770-374. I think you pressed 1 again. Did you press 1?
I did. First of all, I love Mr. R. I love him. I really do. I want to say, you know, being trans is so difficult because, like, I'm kind of green when it comes to sex. Like, I don't know a lot of things I just don't do. You know, I was just telling my girlfriend of mine recently, like, a guy tried to give me head, and I was like, you know, I don't do that. And so it's a lot of things I'm not used to. You know, I've been a submissive woman for a very, very long time. So, and I've also been in a committed relationship. And over the last year or so, we've been separated. And I realized that the dating pool has changed extremely. Like, guys are not the same. They do a lot of things that I'm just not used to. You know, I'm not used to a guy giving head and wanting to just screw him. I'm just not used to it. You know, and it's so, I don't know what has happened. I don't know what is, the times have changed, or maybe the porn that they're talking about, or, you know, I don't know what has transpired. But, you know, boys to me, and I'm from Brooklyn, boys to me used to be real boys, real dudes. They didn't do the funky wonton at all. It's like it's totally changed. And I don't know. I'm learning how to adjust to that, because I'm like I was telling a friend of mine, I'm like, you know, that's not my game. I don't screw. I don't let dudes give me head. I don't do that. You know, now. And I'm not saying I'm knocking those who do. I thought all girls were like me. I thought they all were like me. I thought they all were submissive. I didn't realize that, you know, we all have these different roles when it comes in the sex game. There's a different role that we play. And it baffles me. It baffles me how the roles have reversed. How I can meet someone sexy, 6'5", 240, and all he wants to do is be screwed. And I'm thinking, are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants to bust it wide open. But trust me, he's been busting it wide open for a long time. He just didn't find a girl to bust it wide open with. So when he finally found the one to bust it open with, then he did it. But they've been doing this for, I've been a film queen a long time, and I've always been very active in my role of what I do. And trust me, they've been doing this for a long, long, long time.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank you so much, caller Keisha. I think you wanted to say something else.
Yes, I want to. Ooh, she hit a nerve. I want to comment on that. And don't get mad at me. This is only my opinion and what I've experienced.
Okay.
These men today, I'm going to tell you what the problem is. The trannies are taking, and the butch queen in drags, and the little boys are putting on wigs and makeup. They are taking over. And a lot of these men, they fantasize. They see tits, ass, and a dick, and they just fantasize. Oh, my God. They're not getting it from the girlfriends. So they figure, my fantasy is to have the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
A lot of these men want to get fucked. Because I've been propositioned, and I'm, when it comes to my alter ego, I'm cunt. And I hate when a man wants me to give him head. That's not how I get down. I don't like it, and I kind of think like a tranny. But a lot of them have these fantasies, If you, right now, in this time and age, you've been seeing these trannies. They walk up and down the streets like cunt. And a lot of men know that, but they know what the deal is. They know, a lot of them go home. They go on the internet, and the internet to me is a disease. If you get my drift, because
well, let me ask you a question, Keisha, and everybody else on the panel. We know that the boys are changing, but what about the girls, the real cunts? They are changing as well. And do you guys agree with that?
Don't want no parts of men anymore because they know what they're doing. They know what's going on.
I'm getting cunts, though, that, you know, just one of my children the other day was telling me that him and his lover were on the train going back to New York, and the cunt spooked that they were lovers and then started propositioning them to want to have a threesome. You know, like, wow, both of you guys are sexy, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the cunts want to play with butch queens now.
I got one for you. My girlfriend was on a lunch break. She was at the peep show, and she saw a cunt. She saw a cunt. I'm not going to say who the cunt was. I'm not going to say who the cunt was in the real cunt is in the ballroom scene. She fucking got caught a date. Now, maybe the date thought that she was a boy, but this shit blew my fucking mind. You have cunts in peep shows trying to pull dates. And I'm like, I don't get it. I just do not get it. My point, this is 2000 motherfucking 12. Baby, only if you knew.
Jasmine, let me say this, and I'm doing this from a double standard. I'm from Queens, was escorted before. I've had my own regular life before, you know, so it's been, I know how the regular, cunts, I have had cunts call my aunt. I have cunts ask me to, you know, sleep with their husbands. You know, what some queens have been doing and what feminine figures have been doing for the longest period of time is just now coming to light, because now dating a fem queen or, you know, getting yacked by a fem queen is what's popular now. So now people are starting to, the magnifying glass is becoming heavy on us because now more people are starting to like us and more people are starting to realize they want to lay with us. But this thing that we have been doing, and this is stuff that's been going on for a very, very long time. Like, I've been propositioned by cunt. I have sat in the hotel room. I have sat in the hotel room with a butch queen who heard me talking about whatever on my end. And next thing you know, he's necking and he's trying to twirl. I mean, we've all been down this road before.
Well, let me tell you something. There was this boy. Everybody who knows me knows I like straight boys. But anyway, there was this straight boy. And he was fine as hell and everything, the whole package, all of that. And I've been dying to have him. And we build a rapport with each other. But I knew he had a girlfriend, and I knew his girlfriend because I used to do her hair. And that's how I met him. He used to come to the salon to get her. But anyway, make a long story short, he told me if I wanted to have him, I would have to have him with his girlfriend. And his girlfriend always wanted to have double penetration. And when I tell you, because I wanted to have him so bad, I fell into that threesome. But after we did that threesome that way, that's the only way he would let me have him. And even though we were doing a threesome, she had no problem with me doing what I wanted to do with him while I was doing it, as long as she got what she wanted, in other words. So these times,
I need to play a commercial break, honey.
What happened? See, this is why people don't like to keep it 100, because then people start feeling like they're being judged. Okay.
Yeah. You're not being judged. You know, we all have things that we like and we don't like, and
you know how loved you are. I just cannot imagine that happening.
Welcome to RR's world.
Oh,
you didn't
God.
Think I got to, look. You didn't think I got to be this old being foolish, did you?
Oh, please, we all got skeletons in our closet, honey. We all do, but you know.
Uh-huh.
Press one if you guys are on the line. If you want to tune into this topic, please press one. If you want to say something about this stuff, I don't see you pressing one yet. I think somebody is trying to say something, but I don't see them online, so. I'll wait till you guys press one. Chance, did you want to touch up on anything right now really quickly?
No.
Okay. J-Rock?
I'm just over here laughing at RR so bad because it's like every time we start talking, people start breathing real hard, like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So,
it's no shade for RR, of course. We all know everybody has skeletons in our closet, but... You know, I look at RR as a father figure, so
yes,
imagine hearing your mom or your dad talking about bullshit, you know, shit they did. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I feel that.
We got our sisters on the line. Kelly, you're on.
What's going on, everybody? How are y'all doing tonight?
What's up, Kelly?
Hi, Kelly.
What's going on, Kelly? Nothing much, just showing, just listening to your lovely conversation, honey. And I can definitely agree with RR with what his story that he said, honey. Because, baby, if I had to get it,
I'm about to go to the bathroom or something, honey.
Excuse me, Jasmine?
I'm about to go to the bathroom or something.
Why are you going to go to the bathroom? I feel the same way RR
said. Just like I don't want to hear a father figure say it, I do not want to hear my sister say it either. Forget it.
I mean, you know, honey, baby, I've been in plenty of situations the way RR said it, honey, and you know, baby, I just had one recently.
Yeah, things happen, Chef.
Jasmine had her moment. She's just trying to be cute about the situation.
Honey. I never said I didn't have my moments.
Okay.
We all have had our moments. I've had my moments as well. But one thing about me is not that I'm scary or nothing, but I'm very observant and I'm very alert to so many things. I lost my mother to the virus. I lost my stepfather to the virus. I had to raise my younger brother who lost his mother and his father to this, you know, to this. So I've been centered around this ever since I was a child. So I am very, very scared of so many things. Yes, I have done things in the past, but one thing that I have not done is slept in circles. I will not sleep in a circle where my girlfriends are having this trade or whatever, and I'm going to play with that. You know why I won't do that? Because I know too much about my girlfriends and
right,
the way
definitely.
They live day to day, that child, I know that I don't want to be. Because when you're sleeping with that one person, you're sleeping with everybody else they slept with. And then I know I won't get into bed with my own my girlfriend, so why the hell am I going to get into bed with you? No, so that's the problem right there. Is one thing I will not do, or I haven't done, with sleeping in circles with my girlfriends and stuff. Now, I've done my little three-ways and stuff like that years ago before my little relationship eras. But, you know, I've done that. A four-ways group sex, no, I never did it, all that stuff. But, you know, I've done little dirty things like that now and then. But, you know, that's just my how I roll right
now. Well, you have this conversation has definitely lit up the airwaves, honey. I guess the girls are waiting for me to come on and start talking.
Yeah.
You know, nobody is innocent, but what I do want people to learn from this is that we all have been in the same position one way and another. This show
right.
is for the people that are out there now that are doing these things and that so much is happening. You know, we're older now. We have gone through so much.
Yeah.
And we're not innocent. We have done a lot that you guys are doing. But right
mm-hmm.
now, we've learned from it. And that's why
mm-hmm.
we are still here. That's the point. There are so many people now that are dying at the ages of 23 and 25. When I was younger, it was like, bitch, if I can make it to 30, if I can make it to 40, I mean something. Now people are talking about, I hope I can make it to 23 or 25.
you know, what's going to happen 10 years from now? Are you going to only hope to wait, make it till you're 18? You know, it's just really, really sad what's happening out there. And I just think people need to just be more careful with all of this. Kelly, is that your phone? Danny, you're back on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say, I don't know about all that because, I do play in circles. My boyfriend, we are swingers. Like, ain't no fun if my man can't get nothing. Really, real talk. Yeah, we all out there know that when we see something, well, in the younger generation know that when we see something new, we see something cute, we all want to play with it, or we all see it like it's attractive. Yeah, use a condom. Play what you play, but always know it's safe. Also, like, on the other end, Jasmine, we all played in circles. Like, I actually lost my ex to playing in circles, like playing with trays, playing with different boys. You know, it's a difference. Like, everybody got to watch out for all parts. Like, playing with real people, because I play, you know, you can play with real fish, you know, I still play with girls, you know, I still get around, get out there, but it's the whole thing is everybody, watch out for everybody. There's nothing easy. Like, some people try to play with the straight boys and think, oh, they don't got nothing, or they're not going to give me nothing. First of all, the same thing they did with you, they're doing with the next person. You better wrap that shit up.
That's
the
right.
Same thing. So they sitting there running around playing with you. They sitting there fucking girls, passing that shit on to the next girl. You just really got to watch out and pay attention to everybody and everything.
And I know you. I know all the trannies done heard this one. And you asked her, boy, have you ever been with a tranny before? No, you're my first
no,
one.
I only my first time. I never even knew this happened. Where did you get that from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you was real kind. I never.
Danny, did you want to say anything else?
Yeah, actually, that's true. Like, one thing with me, I feel a girl is a girl, a boy is a boy. I like boys because I like boys. If I like girls, I like girls. That's the reason why I never talk to trannies, because I feel like it's something else. It's a mind thing. Like, I can't see myself getting dead by a trannie. I can't see myself seeing a penis. So with that being, I wouldn't want to put myself in that predicament to do that. Everybody's boat is what floats everybody's boat, but that's the whole thing with me. Like, I can't see myself sucking a, you know, like, but, yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Well, thank you, Danny, and text me if you want to come back on.
No, I think I understand what he's saying. He's saying, you know, if you're going to be with a tranny, you might as well be with a real girl, because
that's not the illusion.
That's not true. Because the reason why I would say that's not true is because that's just like right now. People would not know that some studs are very cute to me, or because of the simple fact they still give that boy look. Like, I've always been attracted to basketball girls. I've been attracted to the girls that play, like, baseball and stuff like that, because they're, like, duty. You know what I'm saying? So, but I still like girls, and it might turn some of y'all's stomach, but I do like girls, you know. But I don't want the, you know, so a lot, I can understand somebody going with a transsexual because that's that woman, but they still gay, though, and they want that extra. You see what I'm saying? So I can see where they're coming from with that, so.
I remember, just from my trans point of view, from a girl's point of view, it is the same visually, but then it's not the same, you know, when it comes to laying down. And I'm not going to make myself not less than a woman, but I always tell people, what you do when you stand up has nothing to do with when you lay down. So how I appear to you, or how you might treat me, or how you take me out in public, my husband to you all the time, I'm a different person than what most people, you know, tend to know of me. So you can't, that's the problem with gay people, period, to me. Love who loves you, want who wants you. If we keep living in these boxes and living in these circles, this is the reason why most relationships don't work. It's the reason why most of these girls are lonely, because they keep trying to figure and trying to live based upon what their girlfriends think is popular, or what they think is comfortable for them, or this boy is cute so I can carry him on my arm. But you can have 16 cute boys on your arm all year. So obviously it's not working for you. Do deal with what makes you happy, not what the stereotype or what gay people think is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Maya, you're back on.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Maya.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on what the guy said. I don't believe that. If a transsexual meets a guy and asks him, have they ever been with another girl, you will gag. They will run down the names of every girl they've slept with, and they will be proud to say it. And it's the truth.
Not all of them. Not all of them.
Of them
not
do.
All of them. No, it's a half-to-half situation. I'm speaking from a girl point of view, and I've had a lot of both of them. And it depends on how, what kind of trade you're dealing with. Some trade, I just use his service because you know you already know his service. But some trade who's trying to just sneak on in and bump through the party is going to keep his mouth shut, just the same way he would if it was too crunk. So some guys talk, some guys don't. Depends on your trade.
Maria, where's your girlfriend at?
That is so funny.
Where's your girlfriend? Where's your girlfriend?
Maya.
She hit it.
Yeah, she's there. Maya.
Jeff. I have a question. Also, this probably will go into the next topic also. When you're talking about sleeping in circles, but I think I said this before on here. I think the person that sleeps in circles the most when it comes to the gay community and all that kind of stuff is the online, supposedly DL guys, because they are out more than a queen that's out. They just don't know it because they're online and they're claiming to be DL, not knowing that the girls are going, girl, you had him? I had him too. Oh, you talking about that DL boy? Yeah, I had him too. So then, and like I said, now that people are on here that I know knows what I'm talking about, I had one person say, hey, I want to go to the club with you because y'all look like y'all be having fun. Took them to the club, and when I took them to the club, they knew more people than I even knew. And I had been out forever, and I'm like, how do you know all these people? And how do they know you? But you're supposed to be so DL. But they're DL online. So online DL people are more out than a queen.
I gotcha.
There goes your girlfriend, Maya. London, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, London.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, London.
Hi, my loves. You know, I was going to tune in, but, you know, every time I thought about pressing one, the topic changed. But, yeah, what I want to say about HIV and AIDS, I want to say, you know, you can get it many different ways and a lot of kids don't, you know, really pay attention. You can actually get it by fighting someone with it and their blood gets on you. You have an open wound. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need to have to be gay to get it.
No.
You don't?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Bloody, I can't tonight.
Okay, London. Anything else really quickly?
No, I just want to say, you know, I love your show.
Thank you, London. I really appreciate it.
And I love you all. Nighty-night.
Nighty-night. We'll see you on Monday. And we have a private call. A private call. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, what's going on, guys? I'm an avid listener, right? And, you know, this is a dope topic tonight. And I just want to say dudes have to, especially like the butch queens, they have to learn to respect themselves more. Because I find myself that they like a aggressive dude to run through, meet them online, be like, yo, I want to smash, come through, pull your dick out, make them suck it, fuck the shit out of them. You don't even got to pull your clothes off. You just fuck them and keep it moving. You going on to the next nigga. And as far as the group sex goes, those are the best ones. You get there, there's a group of 3 to 4 niggas in there. So you're like, all right, I want to, you suck my dick, you suck on my nipple, let me see you fuck him. And, you know, it's exciting. So it's not for everybody to judge, but it's easier for a lot of other people. You know, instead of playing the game like, yo, I want you to be my dude. Nah, I don't got time to do all that talking. Mm-hmm. Suck my dick and let's keep it moving. Like,
because you know why you're here.
Exactly. Bitch. Everybody here to serve a purpose. Like, if there's a group here and you it's two bottoms and three tops, we smutting these bottoms out. There's no respect. I'm not gonna respect you. Why would I respect you? Like, you here to take dick. Shut the fuck up and take dick. And I just feel like it's bad to say, but it is what it is.
But that's,
you know, people,
real. You keeping it 100 because that's
nah,
just how
people
want to
turn their nose up at it and say, like, yo, I'm not into this. Like, oh, sex parties? Oh, those are the best. Absolutely. You come in.
I don't need to know your name. Don't ask me for my number. We
that's
did what
it.
We did.
And
I'm
you,
out.
You,
and I got a question. Are you from New York? Where's the next sex party? Because my mother used to go to a sex party. But I'm single, and I'm free. Okay, and I need to go to the next sex
party. You took the words right out of my mouth. You took the words right
out of my mouth. I need to go to the next sex party because I need somebody to smut me out, okay?
No,
I don't need
them to
know my name, no nothing.
You got that, when, especially when you had that aesthetic as being a quote-unquote straight dude, and you got a big dick like myself, it's over. Like, everybody, the niggas dropping, they dropping, doing what you want them to do. And another thing, like, I'm going to keep it 100. They want you to.
That was a good plug, man.
Like, I don't need lube. I'm going to spit in your ass. I'm going to fuck you, and I'm keeping it moving. Like, no, I'm,
hello.
But no,
you know what?
People look at the porns. One second, Jasmine. People look at porns, right? And they like, yo, that's nasty. They use it. They're not using condoms, and you know they having raw sex, and then they barebacking. They letting these niggas busting them. It is what it is. That turns you on. You watch that on your computer, or whatever. It turns you on. It's everybody to stop the nonsense. Come on, if this is a show for you to keep it real and let you know what's really good. Like, this is what's going on in New York, New Jersey, everywhere. Atlanta.
Oh, no, we know what's going on, but the point is it safe?
Oh, no. No, it's not safe.
That's the question. We all know it's happening.
I agree with everything
it's not,
he said,
it's not safe.
But, you know,
it's
fucking
not.
Raw, okay?
No,
you can spit, you know, I'm going to be real, bitch. You can spit in my ass and everything, bitch. You ain't got to use that little, the fucking raw. I can't get down with that, bitch.
I'm not even saying fucking raw. I'm just saying what's going on. You know, people looking at it. It's not the, not, you know, all right, come on, let's go. You come to my crib. No, first of all, you ain't coming to my crib because you ain't sleeping on my good sheets. That's number one. So I'd rather fuck you in the hallway or, you know, let you stand up against the wall and we get it in right there. That's basically it. Like, they don't have no respect for themselves. That's what I'm saying. That's what it all boils down to. That these facts, and I'm not sorry for the word facts, but I'm saying a lot of gay men, they don't have a lot of respect for themselves. They want you to mistreat them. They want you to feel like, yo, you daddy coming through. Then they want to pass you on to their next man. Oh, yeah, you're going to take it up because you hype now. Like, yo, my name is out there. Not even my name because you really don't even know me. So when I see you out, I don't even speak to you. You just another jump to me. But it is what it is. I like the topic, you know.
Thanks for keeping it 100. I like niggas like that. Keep it 100.
Thank you so much.
No, RR.
Say
Kelly,
what?
Kelly, I need you to do me a favor.
Yes?
I have to switch phones, so I'm going to be calling in from a different number because the phone is dying. Do me a favor and promote a couple of the shows, Balls and Stuff, for me. I better go.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let me play the commercial. I'm going to play the commercial, and then I'm going to come back and promote this other ball that they commercial is being made right now. Hold on, y'all.
The 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball, Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Doors open at 5 p.m. Admission $30 all night. Location, Symphony Ballroom at the Blake Hotel, Uptown, Charlotte, North Carolina. Commentators, icon Jack Mizrahi and icon Jay Manolo Blahnik. DJ Legendary Vonalure. Grand Prize. $1,500. Butch Queen Realist with a Twist. Mini Grand Prize. $500. Butch Queen Vogue Set. Mini Grand Prize. $500. Butch Queen European Runway. Categories include male figure versus female figure. Two trophies. One cash prize of $250. Butch Queen Face. One trophy. One cash prize of $250. Open to all, foot and eye. Male figure versus female figure. Two trophies. One cash prize of $250. Open to all, team treatment. One trophy. One cash award of $300. And 13 other $100 categories. The 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball. Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Charlotte, North Carolina. See you there.
Yes, we're back from our commercial break. Don't forget, on May 19th is the 2nd Annual Baltimore Awards Ball, and it's going to be in Baltimore, and it's going, doors open up at 3 p.m., ball starts at 5 o'clock, grand prize is $1,000, the Ultimate House Grand March, and then they have a host of other cash mini grants, $500, open to all team performance versus dramatics. They have a mini grant open to all runway for $500. They have mini grant Femme Queen Sex Siren for $300. And they have Butch Queen versus Femme Queen Legendary Performance for $250. You can definitely contact Father David Chanel for table information at 443-220-3483. Commercial will be on the air next week.
The commercial will be ready next week for that one. And if you guys are in the chat room or listening from the computer, please call in right now and press 1 or just listen in, because the show should be disconnecting off of computers shortly. But we still will be on the air. If your phone disconnects, I am sorry. You will not be able to get back on. And to the panelists that are on the air, if you guys get disconnected, you probably will not be able to get back on either. Fans, I want to say thank you for fitting in with us. So, where are we?
It was a pleasure.
We're not done yet, though. We have another, no, that's not a caller. If you guys are on the phone line, press 1 if you want to tune in with our topic. We're going to switch it over a little bit. I just want to go through everybody and make sure they're okay. Chance, did you want to touch upon anything really quickly?
No.
Okay. And J-Rock?
No, I'm not. No, I'm good. I'm waiting on the next topic.
Okay. RR?
No, I'm waiting.
Okay. And Vonna?
No, I'm going to wait as well.
Kelly?
I want to know where the sex party is at.
Kelly, what movie did you go see?
I went to go Think Like a Man.
How was it?
It was very good, but y'all changing the topic. I want to know where the fucking sex party at. I've been in a relationship for 2.5 years. I'm fucking single. I want to know where the fucking sex party is at. What the fuck? Me and my sister want to know where the sex party is at.
Who is your sister?
Baby, I'm not going to mention nobody's names, but we want to know where the fucking party is at. We ready to go to the party. Okay, I got a whole bunch of motherfucking lube. I got a whole bunch of motherfucking magnets.
Okay.
And I need to know where the party is at.
Caller, you're back on. Can you tell me where the sex party is?
It's my name, Jefferson Street in Brooklyn.
Bitch.
What else? It's my name, Hart. Wait, let me see.
Hit me up on Facebook. Are we friends on Facebook?
Absolutely.
Well, hit me up on Facebook. Send me a message on Facebook because I need to know. I'm up in there.
Oh, my God. You know, Kelly, I'm going to put you on hold, honey. 718-304, you're on the air.
Well, did she talk about the parties or whatever the case is? Kelly, you know you can't go to those parties because it's only for the black parties.
Oh, baby. Mama cut all her hair off, baby. Don't get it fucked up. Oh,
Mama don't have her head on her back no more. Don't get it fucked up, okay? I can get up in there, trust me. I used to get banned from the old clubhouse on 28th Street, and I used to make my way up in there. I'll get it.
Well, like the caller said, it's one on Jefferson Avenue between Truth and Tompkins. It's a whole lot of them everywhere. All you got to do is log on to A for A and go to parties.
I need to go log on to my A for A on my boy's side.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Thank you, caller.
They get you right out of here.
But you know what I could say? One thing about the sex parties, when you come in, they do give you condoms and they give you lube, and you have the option if you're going to use it or not. Hello?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Oh, everybody got quiet. Like, is that all us still talking?
917-204, you're on the air.
God bless you, Jasmine. That is a lovely, lovely show you just finished having. But could y'all tell the caller that my name is Nicole S. Bowles on Facebook, and I want to know, too, because I'm going with Kelly. I want to be up in there.
No,
we
up in there. We are in there.
But I just want to say, Jasmine, God bless you. That was an over show. I'm going with you, Kelly. Hit me up.
Yes, we are in here. Me and my sister is in here. Y'all are gas, honey. We're going to get this full exclusive for next week's Wednesday show.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Nicole. Y'all y'all got to be gagging over here. And this is why I live in Florida. Yeah, what's up?
I have a question. How healthy is it for people to escort? I'm not talking about HIV wise, but like physically body wise.
What do you mean? What's the question?
Like, you know, like in the anal area. I mean, how healthy is that long term?
Okay, look, I always just speak for myself. I don't get anally penetrated with escorting. It's something I do leave for my husband. If I decide to do so, I don't kiss. I don't, you know, it's something just like I said again, I just left private for my husband. So what I do is something that can last me a long period of time, put it that way.
Well, one thing I do know, Chance, is that a lot of escorting and a lot of the clients, a lot of them ain't all about fucking from what I was told or from what I've noticed. A lot of them just want to look at you. A lot of them just want to touch you. A lot of them just want to cuddle with you. Some of them want to get
on. The girls be lying, honey, child. A lot of the girls be lying when they say they don't do things with escorts, when they don't do things with clients. That's motherfucking bullshit. They be doing it, child, please. Those people are paying for what they want. Girls are going to do exactly what they want.
Some girls that bust it wide open for the clients and do things very washly and nastily. But when it depends on what kind of service that you offer. See, when the service that I offer is just a different type of service than most girls offer. But you are absolutely right, Kelly. Some girls do when it comes to a client, definitely for the right amount of coin. But there ain't enough coin let nobody in my back set, let alone a white man.
Well, anybody who knows me, they know some of my business. But anyway, I'm going to put it out there again anyway. I have an escort service for Butch Queens. And the clients call in, they tell me exactly what they want, so I can pair them up with the butch queen that they want to be with. Because you can't pair somebody up with somebody who's not willing to do some of the things that some of these clients want to do. And some of these clients want to really get nasty and freaky. Then some of these clients just want to watch a boy jack off. And some clients just want the boy to pee on them. You know, there's different categories. And that's how it works. So you have to ask a person, you know, what's your fantasy for this evening, you know, and then you help to fulfill their fantasy.
The one that came on earlier, my son, do you want to come up and share some of the things you said to everyone, what you do? Tell us a little bit about the client. So,
no.
Well, he came on and he said he didn't have no hold. There was no holds barred with him.
Oh, no, mama, no.
Oh, here we go. You said, girl.
Who said that?
That's Kelly. Okay, so bottom line is, we asked Chance. Keisha, did you want to say anything real quickly?
I'm just listening.
Okay, thank you, Keisha.
I want to ask a question of everyone. We're going to lay off of the whole HIV, circles, three ways, and all that stuff. I want to ask you guys a question about anonymous sex and relationships. Do you guys think that they can coexist together? And basically what I'm saying as far as anonymous sex goes, for those of you who don't know, bottom line is you're fucking around with someone you don't even know who they are. You don't want to know their name. You don't want to know who they, where they come from. You don't want to know nothing about them. You just met them on a chat line, over the internet, bitch, at the train station, the bus, wherever. And it's like, bitch, fuck you, fuck me, whatever, and bang, you're gone. What do you guys feel about those types of sexual activities?
I just think that, you know, at the end of the day, that's what is basically going on if you're not in a relationship that's committed, you know, because 9 out of 10 times, if you meet someone on the chat line, they're not giving you their real name, and they come to your house and you have them and they go about their business. If you're an escort, you usually meet your clients, and it's the same way. If you go to a sex party, it's the same thing. So basically, if you're not in a committed relationship, that's the kind of shit that you're going to get.
Okay. Chance, what do you feel about all that?
No comment.
Okay. J-Rock?
The anonymous sex thing, I'm not going to say I've never done that for the simple fact. You know, like you said with your parents and everything, there are certain things that you experience in life that make you not do certain things. Like, I'm no angel, but when it comes down to anonymous, I'm a very paranoid person. If I didn't at least know you or something, or most people I didn't have dealings with, I've probably known you or seen you at the club but just never did, you know, get down with you, but then sooner or later we do. But I have to know something about you, because all I can say about people that do anonymous sex, bitch, you better know how to fight. You better be strapped. You better be ready for anything, because you got fools out there that they're doing this. That's just like the Craigslist killer. They have people out there that are going around beating up on punks because they are, like, insecure with their self or whatever, and they go lure them. And then if you don't know how to fight, or you don't got your girlfriend watching your back or something, you can really get into some danger like that. And I'm just too paranoid for anonymous. I've been to kill somebody. So, yeah, I don't know about that. I just say be safe, not only with condoms, but you just know how to use a nunchuck or something shit.
Yeah, definitely. Vonna, anything you wanted to say about that really quickly?
No. Sex is anonymous sex. If you choose to do it, be safe.
We have a caller, I think, 718-304, you're back.
Yeah. My question is, how do you really, really know someone? Because you can know someone for 2 years and never knew their status, never knew that they were sick or whatever the case is. So my question is, how do you really, really know someone? I mean, because people can tell you anything they want to tell you. So, it's a two-edged sword there.
I think you would have to do your own personal research. If you feel that strong about a person and you feel like you really want to know more about this individual and they're not telling you, then you're going to have to Google it.
But the thing about it is that I can only go by what you tell me. And what if the person is just telling you a whole bunch of lies? And what if you're a gullible person where you just believe anything and everything that the person says to you just because of the way they look or whatever have you? It's a lot of issues out there, you know, that we have to take into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know, you know. I mean, we all take risks, and, you know, I guess that's just the bottom line or whatever. I guess the best thing you can do is just pray that, you know, things, you know, don't turn out to be, you know, negative or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, caller. 678-656, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. My name is Shai.
Hi.
How you doing? What I'm going to say about that is that a lot of things that the kids do nowadays is that when you meet somebody, even like, you know, like she was talking about with the anonymous sex, I mean, even when people meet up in a club, the first thing they do is go home and have sex with each other. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times when you don't even get a chance to get to know each other or get a chance to know each other likes and dislikes or whatever, it's really like once that's already done, that's done, and then it's like on to the next person. You know what I'm saying? So it's like in the gay life, it's like everything is just so focused on, you know, having the next person or how many people you had and, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. And I just think that that's a shame.
I just think that the gay life is a lot of promiscuity. That's all it really is.
Right.
And it's been like that since. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize.
Oh, it's all right. No problem. I was just going to say no one gets a chance to get to know each other so that you could actually build a relationship. And my biggest thing is, to me, I feel like if I'm going to decide that someone's going to be my lover or my partner, then we need to get tested together. I'm not going by you telling me you got tested last August or you got tested in December and it was negative. I don't know who you slept with since then. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going by a piece of paper that you just showed me. If we get tested, get tested together, then whatever the results may be, or whether it's positive for one person or negative, then we make that decision whether we're going to continue to be with each other. But at least that's already out there.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, caller. Thank you so much. You are making me gag. Who's texting me? Stop. Where am I? All right, so anonymous sex. Let me ask you guys a question about that as well. Do you think that two people in a relationship can involve a third party to do this, you know, with them? You know, to a couple decides that, oh, you know, we want to just bring somebody in. We don't know them. They don't know us. We just want to play with them and send them on their way. How does that work?
You're saying, where did you set it?
What is your opinion on it?
I've done it, me personally. So because I did a butch queen. And because of my own, some people might think it's warped mentality or something. I know that boys, that butch queens feel like a masculine figure. And to prevent him from straying off sometimes or doing anything, we have had our times. It has not been as much lately, definitely now, because now we're in a different stage of our relationship. But it has been times in the beginning that we did do that. And it was just what you said. It was very anonymous. It was very much, you know, the twirl session happened. We went through it, and then, you know, we laid up and we talked about it, or we watched a movie and paid no attention. It didn't affect us or hinder us or make me look at him any different, because we were all doing what adults do. It was a consensual thing, and we did it, and we moved on.
But you gotta find the right person that ain't gonna run their motherfucking mouth.
Oh, definitely. I use trade. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've done trade. Yeah, that's really true, Kelly.
Okay. One of the scary things that did you want to say anything about that?
I don't think I could do that, because if I see my partner giving you a little bit too much, and I know that I didn't get it like that, I'm going to be really upset. If they, like, you know, when you're watching your partner have foreplay with somebody else, it's a different thing than when they're having it with you. Say, for instance, if your partner's getting in because this person that they're getting into is somebody that's just a little bit, maybe a little bit more than you, and they going in, because what's going to happen is, on the low, they're going to meet outside that relationship again.
Well, I that's called control. I control the party that's bringing body into my situation.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I control the third party. I control my piece of trade that come in the party. I control how things are going. I control what's getting ready to happen, because I'm an aggressive person. So to me, it's a bigger difference. I know I'm not about to let him wear me out and fuck me, so I'm going to let him wear this trade out and fuck this trade, girl. We're going to use and abuse this trade, like this trade with us, and we're going to kick this trade out. We're about to fall in love with this trade. We're about to warehouse this trade. No worry about the wife this trade. He is to be used, abused, and kicked out, and it's just no shame.
Well, I'm going to be 100% real. I'm not going to say nobody's name or anything. But I just had a situation like that 2 weeks ago, honey, and I controlled the whole situation. If mother don't play, nobody's not going to play.
Yeah, no change. No change. And I'm director. This is how this is going to go. This is what we're going to do. You're going to fuck this. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And it has worked out fine for me. I'm not saying that it works out good for everybody. But for me and my personal instances, it has worked out okay.
Yes, it really does, honey. When you're the director, honey, and you orchestrated everything, honey, it goes with everybody sucks, everybody fucks, and everybody comes. And if everybody's not playing, then nobody's not playing.
But how do you know if your partner didn't exchange information with that person while you was out the room or, you know?
When do I don't leave the room.
Exactly. I don't leave the room.
I'm a control freak, though. I don't leave the room.
I'm going to tell you exactly how it was. Everybody was in the room. People got up out the room, and they left them out the room. And they were gone more than 2 minutes. Mother got up, and mother wasn't know what was going on.
Most of the guys that I did incorporate into my system don't like boys. Do you understand what I'm saying? I had to kind of like almost talk into them and push into it. So, and then most of them had to suck on my pity or play with me a little bit in order to even get into that mold. So I'm not worth it. They don't want no boy with no mustache. They don't look at him like he's stupid and pay him no attention. So he still gets his feel for his masculinity. He still gets his feel for that. That all of that extra in between in the middle time, you ain't calling him, you ain't talking to him, and you ain't doing none of that. It's just how it is. I walk him in, I walk him out. I know what's going on in the room because I'm just a bigger participant in this session as y'all are. So once everybody comes, I'm like, let me walk into the bathroom, let me wash him up, and then let me go ahead and walk him out, and then why don't you go ahead and put that movie on while I'm walking into the door.
Carla, you're back on.
All right, I have a personal input on this one. All right, I was in a relationship with a dude, and we used to, I don't get fucked. So my dude is verse, and I couldn't just get the courage up for him to fuck me. So it's syndrome. I have, I'm like on the both ends with this one. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing in a relationship. So we bring somebody in, I let him smash. Then the nigga see my dick and he like, oh, I want your boyfriend to smash. So I start gutting him out, just gutting him, going for the gusto because there's no respect. Like you here, this is what you here for. To spread it, let my man fuck you, I'ma fuck you, and we gonna get it in. Then you send you on your way. All right. So one incident happened, right? My dude went to get some weed because the dude wanted to smoke. So he went to get some weed. So, boom. I'm just playing like I'm on a computer. So I'm sitting there in my towel. So next thing you know, I'm like, all right, let me just see what it is. Let me sample it before my dude get back. I'm keeping it 100.
So you the snake. Right.
I am. I'm not denying it. I am. So now I've got him out. Fuck him on the stairs, bend him over the banister. So my dude come back. So he's sitting there, ass open. So my dude was like, you smashed already? I'm like, yeah, I smashed. And some good ass. Go ahead, get it. So boom. Now, another incident. My dude, I was fucking the dude, and he was into me. Like, he was riding me, and he was like, you know, looking into my eyes and grabbing my back and, you know, just feeling it too much. So my boyfriend felt some type of way. He was like, yo, stop it. Let's go. He kicked the dude out. So I didn't really catch on to it that this dude was so into me. But the way that my partner looked at him and was like, he was into you too much. So it caused a conflict with us. It caused something that shouldn't even been. And yeah, I should have been letting my dude fuck me. Because if I would have been letting my dude fuck me, then we would have to bring nobody else in. But I just think it's a courage up to do that. So it's like, you know, I look at it on two different ends. Like, I like it. No, it was beneficial to me, though, because I was able to fuck my dude and this smut. So it was good on my end.
But that's where your partner made the mistake, because if you're smashing your partner and he just needed somebody to smash, you were supposed to just be there to look.
Yeah. You better say that. Yeah, you're not supposed to be
smashing at all. Yeah, you
are getting your butt. You shouldn't be fucking at all.
Okay.
Right.
But I think my opinion of the situation is, I think if you with your lover and your lover wants to do something and y'all together for a certain amount of time, you just need to do what your lover wants to do. Why go bring somebody else in when you could just do what you got to do to make your lover happy?
To please your lover. Yeah.
And what y'all said, it makes perfect sense. Everything that, I'm not disagreeing with y'all, and I'm
right.
Standing up for my wrong. I know I was wrong, but what it
mm-hmm.
is, I didn't have that. It is. Being a bottom, that's a powerful thing. That I take my hats off to them. Like, for them to be able to take dick on a reg, I take my hats off. Like, I can't, the whole process is too much.
I know, that's right.
Like, it's just like, yo, I really commend all bottoms, especially power bottoms, that just could take dick for hours and be on the G and the Tina and everything else, and they just want to lay there and get smashed out. You know, I take my hats off, but it's just, and a relationship is a different thing. Like, you know, you're supposed to do what your partner wants you to do, but I just couldn't get the courage up to do it. So that caused a lot of riffraff between us. But, you know, it's a learning experience.
Are y'all still together?
Yeah, we still fuck, you know. It's more besides the sex, but it's like, it's a work in progress with us. No, it's cool though, but you have to really, if you know your partner and you know, honesty is the most important thing to that. Like, you got to keep it real. Like, you can't just say, and this is what I can't stand about this gay man. They try to portray that they are something. See, I met my dude in a sex party. So everybody, I knew what it was. Like, you know I'm a slut, I know you a slut. So let's bring this back home. Let's start a family now. Because it's like, you let me know everything, and we used to get off on that. So we'd be out, and he'd be like, you know him? Yeah, I fucked him. He got some good ass. And he
so
like,
can I ask you a question? How do you turn a hoe into a housewife?
How do you turn? You take control of that.
I need to know that question.
You take control
of
that.
Oh, my God.
I really need to know the answer to that question.
No, real talk. You take control. Like, you got somebody that's out there. I'd rather have somebody that's been out there already, because I'd rather have that person, me know that person was a slut in his heyday. You know,
mm-hmm.
be a slut. So when you come home, cause what they'll do is, oh, no, I don't get fucked. I don't mess with these type of niggas. Oh, this nigga didn't fuck me. Stop lying to yourself. If you a slut, let your partner know you a slut, because y'all could be sluts together. We could do this all together.
Kelly, now the best way I probably can answer that question for you is that you can't change somebody. It has to be a point where they want to change into being with you and not with everybody else. They have to get to a point where they're tired. And until they're tired, they're not going to stop doing it, no matter how much you show them you love them, no matter how much you do for them. No
but then by
the
time they get tired, you ain't going to want them, because it's going to be really tired.
Then guess what? Then that means that person wasn't for you in the first place. Just because you want it, just because you want that pup in the window, don't mean they're going to have that size for you when you walk in the store. Mm.
But everybody had a slut days.
Everybody do. But sometimes your slut days should come to an end sometimes, because, I agree with what you're saying when it comes to threesome. This man laying next to me right now as I talk to y'all is hearing me tell ideas and he poking me and pribbing me. But it's just the point. He ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? As we've had our moments where we've toured the city down together, and he told me, and I thought I was being, judicial and being, the cut about it by letting somebody come into our bedroom. And he told me, I'm tired of people coming to our bedroom. I'm tired of sharing you. This one stop. And I was doing it for him, not for my own personal use. I've had all the trading which means I wanted to have.
Can I ask a question? No disrespect to you. Like, first of all, I don't know if you speaking literally to your bedroom. Don't fuck nobody in your bed. Because these sluts, they deserve an air mattress in the living room or a cot on the floor. No bullshit. Like, that's you and your partner. Where y'all lay y'all heads at, don't worry about
it. We don't have some people literally in our bed. No, we don't.
Okay, before you ask your question, somebody in London Tea Party, they said, what is a power bottom?
Oh, a power bottom. Y'all want names? Y'all want names of power bombs?
No, we don't want names.
No, no,
no.
I'm joking with Kelly. I know she likes to spice it up. Nah, I'm joking. A power bottom is somebody that, y'all know the T, they be on that Tina and all that shit or whatever, and they just lay there, ass spitty wet. It's just wet. And they just lay there like they get gutted out. Just could take dick for hours. Sniff some rush and just take dick and go. You could fist them. You could do whatever. They just want to take dick. A power bottom take dick all day, every day. That's a power bottom.
I'm glad
they,
I'm not
they, that. They come in use. They serve their purpose.
See, y'all got my sister Jasmine Fletcher and pearls over here.
No, let me ask you a question.
What'd you say, Vonna?
I said, y'all got my sister Clarissa up there clutching her pearls. She don't want to hear this. This was not the whole topic of this conversation for us to be talking about power bottoms.
Yeah, that's why I went and got a pussy years ago. I ain't got time for that.
So let me ask this question. Do you think that the promiscuity comes from the fact that deep down inside, and this is no disrespect to anybody's gender, but at the right. end of the day, a butch queen in drag,
uh-huh.
and a femme queen, not a transgender, but a femme queen who still has tools in the box, do you right. think that they're still acting on male hormones because of the threat factor? Because all men are dogs. All men are dogs. And deep
yeah.
down inside, you're still a man.
Yeah, but you know what? When it comes to, like, let's say a butch queen is probably acting on his male instincts. Even if some butch queens in drag, like, a femme queen who moans really heavy, that kind of subsides for you a little bit.
Okay.
When I was in my moan stage completely heavy, I really had no desire to want to have sex or to want to do anything. You could rub my hair and tell me I was like a girl, and I was fine. I didn't have to have sex with you. You know what I'm saying? So I can understand what you mean by that when it comes to a point that, you know, sometimes you're acting on instincts and sometimes you're not. It just depends on the person. Some even women, even the cunts have high sex drive. So it just always depends on the person, I think.
Okay. Kelly?
I'm different. I'm not, you know, I'm just talking and having fun, but
no,
I'm
you're not.
A sexual
no, you're
person
not.
Like that, maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I'm
right.
Not, I'm gonna actually be honest with y'all. You know, I'm not sexually active like that. I don't like to have sex with boys like that. When I have sex with boys, all you gotta do is just give it to me good one time, honey, and I don't need it for a couple of months because I ain't really into dick like that. Just in my opinion. That's just how I am.
Keisha. Is Keisha still there?
Hold on.
Me?
Keisha, you're back.
Hi,
Keisha.
Am I here? Hello?
Yeah, did you hear what I said, Keisha?
I'm listening to some of the shenanigans and some of the comments, and all I'm saying is, yeah, boo. Ciao, boo.
Keisha, great.
Boo. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Keisha.
Kelly,
so Keisha, you would never do a threesome to please your partner?
To be honest with you, I had a lover, and I thought he was a top, and he decided one time that he wanted to be a bottom. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. And he's a little pretty boy. He's a pretty boy. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. And I was like, well, what do I do? Do I say no, 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 or do I kind of like entice it? Yeah, yeah, because they always say, try to please your lover. If he wants it, give it to him. Because if you don't give it to him, they're going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I said, well, let me do it to you. He says, no, you don't. You know you a bottom. You a pussy. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine, whatever. He cheated on me, took my car, went to go meet the date, and got fucked, and then came out and told me he enjoyed it, and then that just fucked up everything. And it kind of devastated me because I was really into this person, but I think he was at the stage where he wanted to venture out. He wanted to be a bottom and see what it's like. And the fact that I'm not versatile or I'm not a top, that kind of, like, threw me out the box. And what can you do? There's nothing you can do. If your lover knows you're a bottom, you can't become a top and think you're going to please that person. It's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Well, you should have bought him a box of fleece, put a ribbon on it, and tell him goodbye.
Oh, no, but
we got another caller. 215-856, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Hi, Tiny.
Hey, Tiny.
I was waiting for you.
I am going off. I've been falling out and falling out and falling out and falling out. I just want to know, with all these sex parties and all these threesomes and this one getting smashed, is everybody under the influence? Or, I mean, what is going on?
I'm
going to
be
100%
honest, y'all, you know, because I'm always honest and I'm a real bitch. When I had my session 2 weeks ago with the three boys, I was fucked up.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now let me take it back. Now, I would be honest. I am the person who gets full. I can kick down with you and get high and do all. But I can't have those kind of sessions. I'm not sexually active when I'm high.
We
I want to sit back and be kiki and be with my girlfriends, and I want to talk shit. I don't want to have sex when I'm high. I want to mess around when I know what's going on, so I can see with everything that's going on at one time. I don't want to be impaired when I'm having a good time. No, because usually it turns out to be a late session for me.
Kelly, let me ask you a question. Do you think you did that because you were more you were doing not so much because you were high, but because you were really feeling kind of upset about your past relationship ending, and you just wanted to act out?
I was vulnerable, and you know, and I was going through all my mixed emotions and things, and I really didn't know, you know. You know, I was hurt,
exactly,
so I was just doing
what
I was doing.
Saying,
but I knew what I was doing, honey. I knew it ain't had nothing to do, baby. This is something that I wasn't doing. Okay? And I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all, right? The things that I want that I did that night is the things that I wanted to do with my lover.
Right.
And that's why I did them. My lover did it. Well, I'm going to be, let me put it like this, right? Me and my lover wanted to do things. I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all. Me and my lover wanted to do things with other people and bring other people into our relationship. But then, you know, I'm the person that will go and, you know, and talk to the people about the situation. But they never wanted to do it with my lover because my lover was female at the end of the day.
Right.
They said, okay, well, I don't have a problem with doing it with you, but we don't want to do it with her. If it was another butch queen, maybe we would do it. So, you know, me and my lover broke up. And I was here, and it was a party!
Yes, ma'am.
OMG, Tiny, you've never had a moment where you had a threesome ever?
No. Mm-mm.
Have you ever had a date that...
Come on, RR, now you was carrying on. Go ahead.
I'm just asking you a question. Have you ever had a date that offered you... more coins? This is back in the days when you probably were, you know,
entertaining.
Entertaining. And they said, I'll give you extra if you take the condom off.
No. Actually, you know what? To be honest with you, as far as the date, the entertainment business go, I'm kind of like, I've had clients tell me that I was actually kind of boring. Because it's just certain things I'm not getting into. I'm not kissing. I'm not. Don't touch me here. I'm like real kind of picky. So.
Well, you've always been like that.
Yeah. So I've always been that way. So I'm not the kind of girl that's gonna be make. You know, be doing all. You know, I'm not gonna make all this extra money. You know, to like as like what that other guy was saying, like smutting myself and all that. No, I'm not into that.
It's just, see, with me and my escort, it was like I said when I was, because I don't anymore because I do work. But when I was and me and my husband were together, it was just some things I had to leave for him. I just couldn't give myself or everything in myself to a bunch of clients for a bunch of money. It was no money worth some of the things that he liked and that he wanted, that he wanted to keep for himself. So that's how I look at it when I'm dating clients all the time. I've had clients ask me to do this, ask clients to do that. I've even had clients, you know that he's in the house and ask me for me to come get him and pull him in. And I say, no, my husband is my husband.
I'm just going off, you know, listening to y'all. I've been laughing and laughing and laughing about with the guy from New York talking about he did get it over the banister and all this other stuff. I'm like, oh.
Is he still on the line?
Yeah, he's right there.
He's right there.
Oh,
but see, I ain't that type of girl, baby. You ain't gonna do me outside of no park. You ain't gonna do me in no hallway, no nothing, baby. You gotta make me feel like I'm watching, honey. I need to be up in the bed with somebody.
There's a lot of people out there that like getting it like that. That's the turn on. That's the
Baby, you still got to make me feel. You still got to make me feel like a woman, honey. Please.
It's like an adrendaline rush. People like that.
They just
got
smut me out now, honey, and you know, and everything, honey. I need to at least know your name, honey.
No, that then you don't need to be going to no sex party, because that's not what
you
goes
on. You know, you're
on.
Not, because sex parties is not for me passing out girls' names. Because as soon as you open your mouth and you try to say, I'm Kelly, listen, the girl, as soon as you walk in the door, the girl touch it, they don't want to be talked about on Monday.
Oh, no. See, honey, see, I guess I can't go to no sex party.
Exactly.
Because I can't do nothing with nobody at least unless I know their name. I got to know your name or where you from or something.
And most sex parties, the only thing you want to see is a baseball cap, a pair of boxers, and some Tims.
Yes.
And if you can't remember the label that's on the hat, that's the only way you're going to know who that person was.
Yes,
oh, no. That's too much for me. I think I just need to stick with Adele Space, because at least I get to know their name.
So can I ask the person something with that's involved with the sex parties? The guy from New York. So what kind of rush is this for you? Like is this some kind of high that you get off of this?
Yeah, it is.
What is
this? It's just having that control over everything. Just people letting you do what you want to them. It's not no mental problem. What it is like, you know, I'm keeping it 100. It's like you just want to rape somebody. I'm probably using the wrong term, but okay. It's just like being overly dominating everything, the whole situation.
Okay.
You just taking control. That's what excites them. They want you to treat them, just smut them out. Treat them like the slut that they are.
You're not going to go to a sex party if you're trying to have somebody make love to you.
No, I'm not making love to no slut.
So with you smutting them out, I mean, you have to get excited also, too, in all this, right?
Yeah, I get my dick extra hard when I see the excitement of you just going like, oh, my God, you fucking the shit out of me, son. Like, damn, nigga. Like, I'm nuts. Come on, we all adults here.
I know you can't.
That's what it is. That's what.
Oh well, then I guess a sex party ain't for me because I don't.
Nah, Kelly, no bullshit. The sex party not for you.
Party not for me because I don't do. I ain't about all that talking and all of that shit. And honey, baby, please, honey.
I don't need to know your name. I don't need you to slot me your number. Well, it depends. I might want you to slot
me
your
number. Let me
tell
you something. When you in a sex party and you smashing somebody,
but no disrespect on her. No disrespect. I saw you in a sex party before.
I'm sure you have. You probably been to one of mine.
The
shit just got real.
Nah. And the funny part about it, and I'm keeping it 100 with y'all. Like, I'm not even in the ballroom scene. My ex, he was. So he'll watch, like, the DVDs or whatever. So I see, like, this person in it. So this before we even start watching the DVDs, I it's mad niggas that I seen through these DVDs that be at these sex parties, and they get it in, and it's not for me because I'm in there with my fitted pulled down low.
I had to shut my sex party down because I used to have a sex party on Fridays and Saturdays called the Green Door in Crown Heights, and it started getting so popular that I had to shut it down because my neighbors started talking. And that was a hot sex party. And I even had the guy from Jefferson come over and say to me that I was stealing all his customers.
Well, I'm trying to think. Did I come over on Crown Heights? I'm trying to remember, but I don't know.
You probably did. It was a $20 party with free weed all night and open bar. Mm-hmm.
See, I don't smoke or drink, but I don't know.
I think I'm about to have me. Nicole, we're going to have us a sex party.
Nicole, you're back.
We having us a sex party.
I gotta be at the door with my baseball cap on and my tracksuit.
You know, let me tell you something. I'm gonna
drop
you.
You gotta drop all your clothes in a black bag, and you don't get the black bag back until after you leave out the door.
No, yeah. What happened to the rules? You know what? Because I'm sitting here and I'm listening to everything, and I agree with Kelly, and I also agree with the young lady that was talking. That there's just some things that I'll just leave to my lover. But if you in the sex party, I don't know you. I don't get no. We are not talking about anything else. You get your stuff right there. We're gonna do what we need to do. I see you later, and I'll see you later. Now, being in a sex party with your lover can
it's
be just
thing.
What the caller said. It can be just what the caller said. There's some things that I would let my lover do, but I'm not going to do just because I'm a woman and who I think I am. And I'm not going to just do that and he'll do it. And I'm like, okay, but I'm not going to do that because that's just not he, mother. But if you're in a sex party, there's no such thing as handing numbers, making lovers situation.
No
I don't think that caller still said he told just now to start.
Promoter, baby. No, the only reason I said it, no, real talk, the only reason I said that I said, because he already put himself out there. He already said it without respect.
No, that even. You know, R.R. is very into with
and
the
I, and I like
that.
See, I'm a type of person, I like you to keep it 100. Like, if he wouldn't have never said it, I wouldn't have jumped online and be like, oh, I know that nigga,
no,
R.R.
I'm fine, but
and
where,
I never even knew your name.
Where am I going to find you at a sex party at? What party are you going to answer?
Get out of here.
No, smut you out.
But listen. Exactly.
Smut you out. I smut you out easily.
Yeah, it's too much.
I told you to hit us up on Facebook.
I see your boy. I see your boy, Kelly, that's in New York. Girl, that'll take you around.
Baby, okay, well, somebody just send me somebody because
yeah,
I'm lonely, honey.
He's in your friendship because me and him are mutual friends with you. I'm going to make sure I send you his link on his Facebook and
but
tell him
to
take your out. He'll show you a good time.
Okay, baby, please do because I'm lonely, honey. I've been sleeping with my girl for the last month.
A lot of the sex parties, though, they have like restrictions, like no, you got to have six packs or you have no stomach, you got to be real, you know. You got to fit a lot of qualifications. And most of the parties that I go to is for definitely DL Realness Board. And if you're not real, you're not getting in. They don't care about the coin. They're not letting you in. And
yeah, that's
get
true.
In, and when you get in there, trust and believe, when they say boxers only, that's all they want to see is boxers and fitted hats, and you can keep your sneakers on. And that's it. And when you walk in there, all you're going to find is either a bar and mattresses on the floor, a dimly lit room, and maybe one room that's playing porn, and that's it.
Yep.
And ain't nobody talking. And ain't nobody talking.
And everybody walking around.
718-304, you're back. All right. Y'all talking about the sex parties. To the guy that was talking about the
it's
parties.
Buck.
And
Buck.
Like,
my name Buck.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Buck. Yeah, so, like, I mean, you know how Jefferson Avenue is set up. Like, why, you know, when you do something in that first room, that first dark room, then why they want to take you downstairs or whatever? I mean,
because it's darker downstairs.
I know it's darker downstairs or whatever, and then that's where all the action takes place downstairs or whatever. But you know,
oh no,
well, downstairs is for the more.
But
daring.
This is what I do first. Like, and I'm keeping it 100 with y'all. Y'all want to get into the details if you've never been to a sex party. And this I go. You come in there, it's dark as hell. It's not that dark.
Yeah.
If you want to see somebody, you go by in the kitchen, by the refrigerator, open the door to see their face, make sure there's nothing on their lips, and, you know, no open sores or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you get the pick. Or you put your lighter in your sock where your condom's at, and, you know, flick it here and there because you can't bring no cell phone in. So you come in, you see how they looking. You know, all right, let me see you. All right, come on, boom. Come suck me off in the come suck me off
but
right
you know,
here.
But
then
you, know,
you do the then you do the ass check. You know, you grabbing the ass, you finger it, you know, let me see, let me sniff it, all right, you know, all right. If you smell a little bit of residue from the flea or the dish or whatever, nah, you good. Because you go 9 out of 10, you're not fully clean yet. So I don't even want to smash you. All right, go about your business. Then you go to the next one. You keep it moving. It's like you're in a candy store. You right here. You going through everything.
So you ever been?
This is a Gary conversation.
So you ever been to the basement?
Downstairs at Jefferson?
No. You ever been to the basement on Jerome Avenue when it was there, like, a long time ago? And it was, pitch dark.
Nah. I only been to that Jefferson Street one, and I've been to 39th Street in Manhattan. And then they had one a long time ago in Harlem that I went to.
No, you was at one in Brooklyn from Big Jeff. Big Jeff had one down in his basement, remember? He used to have the parties upstairs.
Hold on 1 second. Chance, wants to say good night. Chance, you're there?
Yes. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Chance.
Good night, Chance.
But thank you, Chance, for tuning in with us.
No problem.
But there's a circle of people who travel, you know, to different parties, and then they give their reviews. And if the party ain't got the right people, ain't nobody going to support that party. But if you go to a party that's banging, and it's always banging niggas up in there, that's the party everybody's going to be at.
As nasty as Jefferson is,
and that's a nasty-ass brownstone.
They come out,
though. Be up in there.
They come out. But the best one that I've been to is the Den in Atlanta. I like that one. And then there's this one in Florida where it's like they had the whole gym. Like they had a real gym. It was set up like a gym. They had showers, you know, massage tables and everything. And you go outside on the water, fuck on the swing outside. That was the best one. So Atlanta and Florida was the two best ones that I've been to.
You go to a lot of sex parties. You must be getting dick down your leg.
No, I do got dick.
Yeah, he do.
I know who he is.
And traveling? My God.
Who said they know who I am?
I know who you are.
Wait, let me hear your voice again.
I said, I know who you are.
Oh, this Jasmine?
No.
I know Jasmine.
No, you probably do know me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that.
I fucked you?
No, I sucked your dick, though.
Oh,
okay.
Lord, Evan! Scotty, what? Woo!
All right, nice meeting
you. And then
nice
the other thing, you gotta throw this part in there about the sex parties. You're not just going to go to a sex party just to bust one nut either.
Oh, no. I'm coming there. Three, I'm good.
Yeah. You got to do
it. But you know what it do? You know, real talk, y'all know what? It sex open you up. It's just like a top and a bottom. Like, and you get, you could come in somewhere and bust two nuts, but it's like, damn, I'm still not good enough. So it's like the sun is up, and you might see a straggler walking through, and you're like, yo, come suck my dick real fast. Let me bust one more time or whatever.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, it depends. Like, it depends on the night.
My God, my Lord, baby, you going to make me, I got to get on the chat line, honey.
Baby, Buck, you got these femme queens on here going crazy.
I don't know. Baby, when I tell you, Buck, you got my motherfucking Facebook is going crazy. Everybody wants your IM, they want your phone number and everything. Hallelujah, honey.
Wow.
I can't, you know what, I'm going to be honest with y'all, baby, if I knew who Buck was, I couldn't have sex with him if the dick is that good, honey. I ain't have none in 3 years, bitch, I might fall in love.
Okay. we got 10 minutes into the show, it was a very, very interesting topic tonight. I want to say thank you for everyone that tuned in. Thank you, Buck, for lighting up the show, honey.
Buck, you need to Facebook me. You know my Facebook, right?
Nah, I don't know yours.
Well, hit me up on Facebook.
Hit Kelly up, and then Kelly will hit me up.
All right.
Yes, please hit me up, buddy.
Girl.
Yeah, Gladys over the same boy. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
One last thing I want to touch up on really quickly, because I did put it in there, but we don't really have that much time, is a lot of the stuff that we're, you know, hearing and seeing and everything on a serious note. What do you guys feel about, you know, the whole Backpage and Craigslist? I think there was a news report today I heard about Backpage. But, you know, Craigslist, Backpage with all the escorting and sex that's all over it, Craigslist and everything that's happening there, and it's gotten to the point now where people are getting attacked and killed through, you know, through ads on Craigslist. And then we have the Adam for Adams and the BJCs, the Arrows and the Mentorrent. Basically, what is your opinion on all these ad systems out there? And, you know, what do you guys feel about it? I'm going to start with you, J-Rock, because you're at the top.
Well, what I feel about A4A, BGC, Urban Chat, all the fucking Jack, you know, they got apps for it. The only thing that I don't like about these sites, because I've had a BGC page, I've had an A4A page. I done had like 10 of them, but I keep on erasing it because it's like so stupid to me. What I don't like is the people that get on there and say, I'm just on here chilling, trying to find, you know, some friends and stuff like that. Everything cool. Don't hit me up talking about no fucking. Don't disrespect me and all that. Bitch, you is on a gay chat site. And then this new app called Jack. It is a fucking gay app. It's a gay app called Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And you on there looking for a fucking man. You're looking for a relationship on a gay app called Jack. Please. I hate when people get on there and tell me, don't do this, don't. That's the only thing I don't like about it. And like I said about the supposed DL people that be on the freaking online, but that goes back to the anonymous sex. If you don't know how to scrap, if you don't know how to fight, don't be meeting these people off these doggone chat lines, stuff like that. Then they come and fucking yoke your ass up. But, hey, that's just me, you know.
Okay, we got 8 minutes really quickly. RR, your opinion on those sex really quickly?
No, I don't have an opinion.
Okay. Vanna?
My opinion on them is just do everything in moderation. Do what you feel is best for you. Nobody can tell you what's good for you. Nobody can tell you what's bad for you. Just do things smartly and do it the right way, and you'll have a good time.
Okay. Kelly, any opinion on them?
No, I don't have no opinion on it, honey. I'm about to get smutted out.
Girl, you're a mess. But, you know, with all the stuff that you do you play with those sites as well?
No, I don't play with them no more. You know, I got the Grindr, but, you know, I ain't into it no more. But it's just like a Facebook or Twitter. Keep it real. That's all it is. Adam Grant, what is it? Adam for Adam. That shit all the same. The Twitter, they trying to get you to fuck, and, you know, it's the same thing. So
What is it, BGBC, something like that? BGC,
Black Gay Chat.
BGC Live.
Okay.
You know what it's good for?
I don't know, jack on your phone and turn it.
It's good for out of town. When you traveling, that's what it's good for. Traveling for work, you know, you get online and then you get somebody to come through your hotel room. That's what it's good for.
All you gotta do is go to the nearest state that you in and add Jack to your phone, and you'll see all the bitch queens up there that can't get a date from the ball or can't get a date from the club, they on Jack. Yes, they are.
But don't y'all think Jack is kind of stalkerish, though? I don't like that you're right here next to me, you're 1 mile from me, you're 3. Why the fuck you gotta know exactly where I'm at?
It ain't stalkerish. I mean, shit. They gonna know where you at anyway.
You got your picture up there, so you really don't care about nothing else. Your picture up there.
You trying to have sex. You're making this complicated.
Tiny, did you want to give any feedback about those social apps and stuff?
I just say, you know, just everybody out there, whatever sites and stuff that y'all involved in, just be careful. Like, you know, I'm not into all that stuff no more, so, you know, but just be careful. But I just find it entertaining, so I had to chime in because I was just falling out the whole time, but...
And now you know what smut is, right? I got one more thing before I get out of here. Buck, you ain't got to go to a sex party for a while because you got a lot of requests in my motherfucking inbox.
Okay.
No shade.
Well, thank you so much, Tanya, for tuning in as always. And Buck, thank you for tuning in.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Kelly, did you want to say anything really quickly before we close out?
I'll see y'all back here Monday night for the recap. I love y'all all for loving me. Practice safe sex. It's the best sex.
Okay. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you for tuning in, sweetie. Okay. And Vonna, did you want to make any closing statements?
No, just be careful what you do. And, you know, don't let people judge you. You know,
be the person of yourself, educate yourself, and do things what's best for you, and things will work out better for you later. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. J-Rock?
The only thing that I have to say is everybody just be safe out there, and if you are infected, your life is not over. Just make look at it this way. You're not a threat to no one. Everyone's a threat to you. So just keep yourself safe.
Thank you so much, J-Rock. And R, it's just me and you. You want to make any closing statements?
I just want to say I open myself up to this show because I want people to know that I've been around and I've seen some things and I've done some things, but I'm not the person that I used to be, but I am a person of a lot of knowledge and wisdom. So anytime you feel like you might want to pull me to the side and ask me anything, there's nothing that you can't ask me. But remember, people who judge don't matter, and people who matter don't judge. So don't judge me, but just try to lead by example.
Thank you so much, R.R. I want to say thank you to everyone that has tuned in tonight for episode 11, where we talk about sex. It's really scary out there. No one is here to judge you or anything like that. But whatever you do out there, from three ways and circles and everything, take care of yourself and seek assistance if you have questions or problems or you're questioning yourself. You know, try to seek help. Don't hurt other people because of what you're going through. And just be careful with everything that you're doing. I really, you know, appreciate everyone for tuning in. We'll be back this Monday for the weekend recap. And I just want to say thank you for everyone that tuned in tonight. Talk to you later. And everyone have a good and safe weekend. And I'll see you soon.
You are now rocking to the beats with the East Coast Music Mogul, DJ Mike Q, Queen Beat Productions, DJMikeQ.com.
Cut. 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 C